gotten your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, August 1st, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Not even going to get into the stuff I just had to deal with to get this going. That's why we're late. Not going to waste time on it today, seeing as how it's becoming a pretty daily occurrence that we have unexplained glitches and weird things right before we go live, but not going to waste time on today. We have a lot to get into, a lot of really important stuff to go over in regard to the vaccine narrative specifically today. As we've been chipping away at left and right, you know, the whole COVID-19 illusion, as well as everything else we talk about around foreign policy and anything else they're lying to you about. But today, specifically around the things that we've really been focusing on, talking about whether vaccines cause variants, talking about whether it's effective at all before or with this current variant they're telling us we're dealing with, or whether we're currently dealing with a pandemic of the unvaccinated or the reverse. We're going to go through all this and you can look at it for yourself. By the way, for those that watch this show on the regular, most of this you probably already know. Not that we're going to be redundant today. It's all new information, but it's just that we've already been battering this down for a long time. So you guys all know this stuff, and it's embarrassing to watch them try to squirm and struggle and flail about in their destroyed narrative. It really is the best analogy is a dumpster fire, and they're just watching it burn away, and they just keep throwing it. It's relentless in the face of the new information, as we talked about, even the mask mandates, as the CDC is coming out and changing things like while they're making it happen or while they're forcing the vaccine mandates, while the information's coming out from the very people they tell us to listen to, showing that it doesn't make any sense, whether passport or mandate. It's quite alarming, but won't be too long of a show, I would argue. We'll see if I can keep my chitter chatter to a minimum. But couple quick points to start off. On that note of chitter chatter, I want you to see something I just thought was really interesting is that our streaming pirate channels, by the way, there's three of them playing right now just because I'm angry with YouTube. So this show is playing at three different locations on YouTube right now. Oh, wait a minute, YouTube, I thought I wasn't allowed to use your platform anymore. How's that working? I guess you guys don't have control anymore. The point was, I saw this today. I was going to use this person's channel. I blocked out their name just in case they don't want you seeing their email. And I got this already connected on Restream and YouTube. And they had a third security check from within the platform. So they can see, this is what I find very alarming. And I promise you, this is because they know what we're doing. And I love it because that means that it's bothering them. That means they're aware enough of what pirate streams are, which is only me right now, and hopefully Corbett coming soon, that they initiated a secondary or third security check in order to stop that. And it didn't really, because I'm currently streaming on three channels. But it says, because you're attempting a highly sensitive action, which was simply live streaming, you know, which I guess you could consider sensitive, but not in the context of once you're already within the channel, right? It says, we need to be sure it's really you. After I've logged in, use the password, confirm my security with a code, and then they need to make sure it's me. Clearly, they know what's going on. At the moment, we can't. Despite me logging in and proving it was me twice, apparently. It says, try again from a device you normally use. Aha! That's what is happening. So get this. This is what I think is so alarming to me. And for the person out there, probably you can recognize the first two letters there and know it's the U. And anybody else out there using their participating in the pirate channels or anyone using YouTube, they know where you are, what device you're using. And most of these platforms do because they ask for that. But get this. I'm logging in using a VPN and a private window. So how in the world do they know it's not you? Isn't that interesting? Now, maybe it's because they're going, we're not going to let you even use this stuff anymore until we can prove it to you, which means bye-bye anonymous forever, which is what they're all striving for. So maybe that's the point. Or maybe it's because they know it's you by some signature somehow, regardless of whether you're Steve. Anyway, I find this to be, regardless of how you look at it, incredibly invasive and scary. Because why the hell does YouTube have a say on what you do with your channel? They don't like that we are getting our truth through on their platform. Screw you, YouTube. Right. So let's go forward here. Just starting off with a quick note on Robert Inlakesh's recent work, which he's just been killing it, knocking it out of the park. I just want to show you a couple quick articles that he wrote as of the last. This is the two. Well, let's just include this one, too. He wrote a great article about Tunisia's presidential takeover in Tunisia, basically showing you that it seems to be that there's more going on there. There's obviously there's interest there for the U.S. government and a lot of Israeli government. And we're watching a regime change take place again. It's worth your worth your time. In regard to Israel, Israeli forces just murdered a young child. Then the next day after the funeral, they killed another person. Nobody cares. Nobody except people in the chat, you guys watching, and other independent media sharing this. Nope, this is incredible. Of course, they'll always report, as he notes, about soldiers getting shot or something else, but children will get shot in the street, unarmed, no justification, and it's not even mentioned. That's the fair and balanced coverage of the mainstream media in regard to the Israeli-Palestine situation, otherwise known as an illegal occupation that's always been maintained as such because Palestinians have a legal right to armed rebellion according to the Geneva Conventions and the United Nations, but facts don't matter in this situation. Also, Biden is not ending the forever wars. And this is, I love that picture, confused about how to hold a gun even then. But the point is, he's not ending any of these. He's not ending any of these wars. In fact, he's escalating them, well, just like Trump did, but all of his supporters are screaming, he's drawing down, but he's not, though. Whether we're considering contractors, which are far outweigh the amount of U.S. troops, which are the same thing at the end of the day if it's being funded by the U.S. government, which, by the way, some comes from your pocket, some comes from their illegal profits from drug sales and trafficking and everything else that they do on the regular, the CIA and all that. But it's obvious that it's going up. And read the article for yourself, as we've pointed out many times. It's disgusting how they keep this going. And just recently, Israel claims Iran attacked its ship. Fouls a response. The UK, the US, they all jump in like usual and say, oh, Israel said that, then we're on their side without any due diligence, which is classic US government. But that's what's happening. Now, it doesn't mean that Iran didn't attack the ship, by the way. You should read the article. But what it means is there's no evidence, and all they do is come flying over the top and say what they want. It's also possible that Israel did this or nothing happened at all, on and on and on. But it's important to read this so you keep up on what's really going on, because there's a lot of illegal, dishonest, flagrant violations of international law, let's put it that way, happening in real time because everyone's focused on COVID-19, including myself. But it's all tied together. But we need to realize that it's the things that they were used to be doing and still getting away with that we were talking about, they're even less people are paying attention to. And that's why Robert is doing such a great job. So please, everybody out there, focus on this stuff. Take the time to read it. It's super important. Now, jumping over, I wanted to make a quick correction, in fact, which really didn't even necessarily matter. But as just like this person said, and as everybody so kindly pointed out, that's what we do here. So whether or not it really even changed the story, I made a mistake yesterday, day before yesterday, and I want to clarify it. And I love the fact that everybody took the time to say, you know, it didn't even really matter, but that's what we do here. We, not just me, you guys, we're all part of this together, and I love it. So he says, hey, Ryan, you made a mistake. At the end of the show, you opened data for Austria, not Australia. Obviously, you see why I made that mistake. I was very quickly looking, typed AUST and saw it and went, didn't see it. My fault. Easy mistake. My mistake. But he says, to be honest, it's even worse, even more ridiculous when you look at Australia. So just so I can correct it. So really appreciate that to everybody. Multiple people reached out. Point was, I was making the point about how ridiculous it was that they're fear-mongering. Oh my gosh, everybody's dying. There's a spike in cases was the story. A huge spike in cases in Australia. Well, here was Austria. So you can see that there's a moderate strike, you know, like I wouldn't even call it a spike, and a rise in cases, and the deaths were basically non-existent. Just to make it clear, here's Australia. This makes it even better, to be honest, because there's an even bigger spike. I mean, you know, in context, I guess. But even worse down here. Look at this. Guys, if there is no death corresponding with the rise in cases, then we're not in danger. And I don't care what people keep screaming about. All they're doing is focusing on cases. And don't forget, cases can be wildly manipulated using the PCR test that seems to be designed for just that in the context of how it deals with viruses. Even Kerry Mullis was speaking out about how that was not supposed to be used in that regard. Not around COVID specifically, but about in using it in this context. Before he died, you know, weirdly. Important to see how ridiculous this is. And this is across the board right now. You'll see spikes and deaths in different places, but at the end of the day, across the board, you're seeing rise in cases with no corresponding issue. And that's because, as we'll get to in the variant point, I'll play this, that clip I played a few times. It's not more dangerous. Contagious is not more dangerous. Even that we're taking at face value from the data they're giving to us. So who knows? But even within their narrative, you can see clearly that it shows you that it's not more dangerous. That's why they keep going likely more dangerous. Well, we've had months now of data to look at, and they keep saying likely. Now, to start in this, like I always love saying that after we've been going for 10, 15 minutes, but opening the show today, I want to reiterate a point. Now, this is like I said yesterday, thank you for those of you that are patient enough to go through information more than once. I want this to be done in a way now for a specific reason to go over this again, or specifically this, since it was blocked the other day, and this again, to start the show. And I want you guys to, this should be a clip, this should be something that we put out there by itself, and I want people to understand how important this is. Because the reason I'm reiterating these two things again today is because both of them are no longer there. Both of them are gone. And this is such a I've been using these two documents, in fact, three of them. There's one from the British Medical Journal that says the same thing. Just these two are gone. And the reason I want to reiterate this again today is I haven't done so in together in a while and in the context of how they're very, very strongly revising history in real time right now. They're deleting stuff all over the place. And that needs to show us that they're hiding something. There's no reason that you delete data, history, records, if you're not trying to hide something. It's crazy. So let's start with this one again. And I want to show you that you can see the website. And by the way, it goes to this link because this is the one they redirects to. Now, let me try to do this. Well, I guess it's not hugely important. Let me try to do one. Hopefully you can get a blip of it when I just grab it from my links. But you'll notice that when you go to this, where was it? Right there. Hopefully this pops up and you'll be able to see it. You get a quick blip of the real thing. There it is. See, hopefully you guys caught that. Oh, and then it goes over here and says, whoa, we've revamped our website. And as I've extensively done by myself and shown you on the show, literally nothing else I can find is even remotely changed. This is the one page that they suddenly decided to revamp and they make it about their whole website. Click on anything else and it seems to be up and fine and running. Isn't that interesting? I wonder how long this will be revamped for. But it's funny how you see it, then you don't, and it redirects. But the point was, this is what they're trying to hide from you. Let's go through this. Now I'll show you the next one. The next one, again, that's also not there. This is from the WHO, you know, the group that we're not supposed to challenge at all around COVID, except they do all the time, and that doesn't make any sense. Health is more than influenza. Now I actually found both of these people on Twitter and done an interesting point about that in the past. Look up the other shows. Both of them are interestingly silent on Twitter right about the time when this all starts. And seem to be challenging it to a degree because they were doing so here. Who knows what they're doing now? But this says in 2011, exactly what we're dealing with today. And that's why they don't want you seeing this now. It says the repeated pandemic health scares caused by avian H5N1 and the new H1N1 human influenza virus are part of a culture of fear. A culture of fear. This is the WHO calling out the repeated health scares. They call these things fake pandemics. It says worst case thinking replaced balanced risk assessment. Do you realize that the group right now, Fauci, Biden, they all point back to H1N1 as a model for how we're supposed to be working? How is that possible if here's the WHO and HHS, in fact, which we'll show you next, in fact, somebody reporting to HHS telling you that this is not real, and yet they point back and say, but that was what we should look at, how dangerous that was, and the flu, and it wasn't real. Worst case thinking replaced balanced risk assessment. Worst case thinking is motivated by the belief that the danger we face is so overwhelmingly catastrophic that we must act immediately. Sound familiar? It says, rather than wait for information, we need a preemptive strike. Yes, exactly. That's what's happening now, even though that's not based on the fact that they think they need to. I think it's because they're using this as an illusion, my opinion. But it says the precautionary stocking of largely useless antivirals and irrational vaccine policies. Well, that would be dangerous misinformation today if we were saying that on Twitter against an unusually benign H1N1 virus wasted many billions of dollars, euros. Right, and unusually benign, you mean the thing that they keep pointing to as one of the worst pandemics and why we should, yes. It says the pandemic policy was never informed by evidence. Let me repeat that. The pandemic policy was never informed by evidence. How is it possible the WHO can say that pointing back in 2011, and we can point back even further down the line to back to 2000, what was it? I'm forgetting now, seven, I believe, H1N1, and say that that was something that we need to model after. How does that make sense? It doesn't. All it shows you is either that these people were wrong somehow, based on the data, by the way, I've shown you 1,000 times over, which is not wrong. It's clear because other people, the British Medical Journal, they backed this up. Or they just got shoved aside and things changed, just like happened with the OPCW. Oh, all those 20, 30 people that all said this was failed, let's get rid of them. Fire them all. Hire people we like and then go, they're the good ones. Those are all crazy conspiracy theorists. Interesting how that works. It's blanket statements. The pandemic policy was never informed by evidence, but by fear of worst case scenarios. Now, by the way, in an interesting way, that seems to kind of give them a pass by saying, well, they thought they were doing the right thing. I don't even believe that. Either way you look at it, though, it's about being wrong and square and screaming that you're right, regardless of the data. In both pandemics of fear, by the way, so we're clear that they're calling both of those pandemics of fear, not based on the evidence. In both of them, the exaggerated claims of a severe public health threat stemmed primarily from, guess who? Disease advocacy by influenza experts, people like Dr. Fauci. In the highly competitive market of health governance, the struggle for attention, budgets, and grants is fierce. Exactly. Pointing out that what drives their actions, their budgets and grants that come from the very people that have control over the narrative. The pharmaceutical industry and the media, of course, only reacted to this welcome boon. It's amazing how different this is than what we're hearing today, right? You can't even get, there's no daylight between the narrative about whether the media and the pharmaceutical companies are all about your safety. Crazy. But it says disease experts wish to capture public attention and sway resource allocation decisions in favor of the disease of their interest. Does that sound like what's in best interest of you, of your health? Does it sound like these people are there for you altruistically fighting for everything that... No, it's obvious that was never the case, and it's not the case now. It's not pretend like over from 2011 to 2021, a whole world changed. This didn't change. They shoved it away. They covered it up. That's why the Spider Group, I think, 8 years later, came out, and maybe less than that, came out and said, they're doing this the same thing. I mean, I should have grabbed that. It's such an important story. This is one that we've talked about many times. This is aimed at the CDC, understand. That's the important thing. It's all aimed at the CDC. Should come up with your spider, I believe. Always you can see the website. Here we go. Perfect. Glad it came up quick. Otherwise, I was going to get angry. This is an important story. This one is telling you right here. CDC spider scientists attack the CDC, exposed culture of collusion and cover-ups. It says, we are a group of scientists, the CDC, that are very concerned about the current state of ethics at our agency. This is 2017. It appears that our mission is being influenced and shaped by outside parties and rogue interests. It seems that our mission and congressional intent for our agency is being circumvented by some of our leaders. What concerns us most is that it's becoming the norm and not the rare exception. Some senior management officials of the CDC are clearly aware and even condone these behaviors. Others see it and turn the other way. Some staff are intimidated and pressed to do things they know are not right. It's the exact same problem. This is the problem, guys. And this is where we are. I'm going way too far ahead. Hold on. Where was I? Here we are. Get this in the right spot. These are the people that are speaking out and continually get shoved back down. This is what happens to whistleblowers in the land of the free. Right? We don't listen to them. We do. The government that pretends to fight for them attacks them. The media that's supposed to represent the people and the free dialogue suppresses their information and calls them conspiracy theorists, right? This is what is happening today. Disease experts who wish to capture public attention and sway resource allocation decisions in favor of the disease of their interest. The key to responsible policymaking is not bureaucracy, but accountability and independence from these interest groups. Is that happening today? Are we supposed to trust the WHO and not challenge it? Obviously not. Decisions must be based on adaptive responses to emerging problems, not definitions, which is exactly where we are today. Okay, which brings us to the next one, which is also not found. And this one's easy. You can see right in the exact same URL. Now, why would that be removed? There's no reason that you remove stuff like this unless you're trying to hide something. This is CDC influenza deaths, request for correction. Now, this can be submitted by people. This is medical professionals, doctors, and this is in regard to people who have access to the HHS, and this is being submitted by a doctor. Okay, this was on the HHS up until, I don't know, I could have done the Wayback Machine probably and gotten an exact date. I could probably do it here, but I don't want to lose this somehow. This went all the way back to when this was first posted, or close to, or very least when this was first archived by somebody, April 29, 2017. Okay, so jump forward a bunch of time, and this is still a problem that's still obvious to doctors and people involved. Okay, same thing we just discussed way back then in 2011. It says, U.S. data on influenza deaths are false and misleading. That's a nice way to start that, isn't it? Pretty definitive, not kinda, not maybe, not hypothetically, not we think, not possibly. U.S. data on influenza deaths are false and misleading. Now, this is before COVID-19, and this is exactly the same illusion that we talk about. This is the idea of PIC, the idea of pneumonia, influenza, and COVID-19. Let's see. I haven't looked this up in a while. I think this is likely where they have it. On the CDC. I haven't shown this in a while, so I think it's important to reiterate that point. If I don't see it on this page, I'll try to grab it and include it afterward. So you'll notice that a lot of these in the past, like just on flu, involve both flu and pneumonia, which is what this first part's going to talk about. Doesn't look like it's on. Oh, here we go. Perfect. I knew it was. They usually include both. So what you'll see here, and this is on flu view, which is the classic view for flu information, but it always crosses over. You know why? Because flu is being used to bolster the numbers of COVID-19. That's not even a secret. Of course, they call it secondary flu, just like we're going to get into in a second, called secondary pneumonia. And you'll see the people in HHS on the website saying that that's ridiculous, and he will show you why. But guess what? They're doing the same thing today, as you can see. Were due to pneumonia, flu, and or COVID-19 called PIC. Now that is the number. That is the number you're getting for COVID-19. Now, why wouldn't they say PIC? Why wouldn't they include that? Why wouldn't they just call it all of them? Because they want you to think that it's all COVID-19. So the numbers, all the deaths, the 500,000 deaths this whole time, that includes the pneumonia and influenzas that they jammed in there. Maybe you want to believe that that means that they're all part of it. It could be. Based on what we're going to show you next and the information, it's just simply not possible based on everything else that's going on, because it doesn't add up based on all the data when you really dig into it, which I've done plenty of times. It just blows my mind that this is something that nobody talks about and barely anybody even knows about. But coming over here back to this document, it says, again, U.S. data on influenza and deaths are false and misleading for the same reason we just showed you. And here's what they say. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, acknowledges a difference between flu and flu-associated death, yet uses the terms interchangeably, which, by the way, right out of the gate is dishonest. If they're different, you can't use them interchangeably. And this is even a doctor calling them out. Additionally, there are significant statistical incompatibilities between official estimates and national vital statistic data. Compounding these problems is a marketing of fear. Isn't that funny? Same thing. A CDC communication strategy in which medical experts, quote, predict dire outcomes during flu seasons. Whether or not, by the way, there's any reason to predict such dire outcomes, which we'll get to at the end of this document. As they're pointing out in the chat, remember, the flu stopped existing during COVID-19, right? That's also a very valid thing to point out right today. It's amazing that all of a sudden it's going, whoa, the flu, we're combining it with the COVID-19. And then what do you know? Out of nowhere, the flu just stops being there. Where'd the flu go? Oh my God, it just disappeared. Maybe that's because we were wearing masks. Nope, masks and everything else dramatically increased the problem, as all the data actually shows when you care to look at it. I just find this to be just comically ridiculous. back to this. So if the flu disappeared, I think that's obvious, right? The same joke we made in the beginning is it's like, okay, so why'd the flu disappear? Obviously, because everyone's wearing masks and we're locking down and everyone's following the restrictions and it's working. Okay, why are cases rising for COVID-19? Because no one's wearing their masks and their lockdowns aren't working and nobody's listening. Okay, the same day you'll get those same answers, and that's perfectly clear. But it's saying a marketing of fear. A marketing of fear. Exactly like this, exactly like the WHO was calling out the CDC for and our entire health industry back in 2011. It goes on to say the CDC website states what has become commonly accepted and widely reported in the lay and scientific press annually. About 36,000 Americans die from flu, they say. And influenza pneumonia combined is the seventh leading cause of death in the United States. They say, but then they ask, but why are flu and pneumonia bundled together? Is this relationship so strong or unique to warrant characterizing them as a single cause of death? David Rosenthal, director of Harvard University Health Services, said, quote, people don't necessarily die per se of the flu virus. What they die of is a secondary pneumonia. Now, right before we even get to the next part, think about how interesting that is. Isn't that exactly what they said in 1918, that it was predominantly pneumonia? Like almost, I mean, they said the vast majority were. Okay, how about now? If what they're saying is most of this is secondary pneumonia, that's why they're combining them. So wait a minute, are we just always dealing with a pneumonia problem and we can't recognize that? And maybe that's on purpose. And if we simply address the fact that pneumonia can be treated very easily, that we wouldn't have a problem? Is pneumonia being used to create things that can be treated? I mean, there's so many questions here. And even the doctor here, the BMJ, the WHO, they all see it and they've seen it and they've called it out. Maybe they didn't get the message until finally they go, hey, guy, get on board. We're doing something here. And they go, we'll be quiet now. We'll delete those pages. It says so many of these pneumonias are not viral pneumonias, but secondary pneumonias. But Dr. Rosenthal agreed that the flu pneumonia relationship was not unique. And that's where this gets interesting. If it's not unique, how can we pretend that it applies to COVID-19 in this case? If it's not unique, well, then it's obviously something bigger than just this one circumstance or the flu. It says, for instance, a recent study found that stomach acid suppressing drugs are associated with a higher risk of community acquired pneumonia. Okay, so then right there, you'd be like, well, then they must use this thing too, right? And this is a problem. Well, then there's going to be secondary pneumonias they include with this. But these drugs and pneumonia are not compiled as a single statistic. So if it's logical on one, it would be on the other. But why not? Why don't they do that then? Well, the CDC states that the historic 1968-9 Hong Kong flu pandemic killed 34,000 Americans. At the same time, the CDC claims 36,000 Americans annually die from the flu. How does that make sense? So currently, every year, we're living through a huge pandemic of the flu. That's apparently what the data would suggest. But that's not what's happening, you see. If 34,000 Americans, obviously, 1968 is a different time, different population. But it's about the way that they're misrepresenting how this data affects Americans. And this is the point, just to quickly jump ahead, that Zuby was making here. 60 million people die every year, and this has been the case for a long time. Nobody cared. Most don't even know that stat. Yet people now use 4 million COVID-related deaths in 18 months to blackmail, threaten, and defend stupid policies. Didn't care until the TV told them to, right? But just bear in mind that 4 million COVID-related death number is likely an overestimate given what is counted as such. Exactly. And the average age of COVID-related death is in most developed countries is over 80. Exactly. As the Swiss Policy Research told you, the general average death is basically the same as your normal lifespan, which means you're a normal risk in general than stepping out your front door, the risks you have by living your life. There's no denying that. They just ignored that. And it says all death is sad, but saying we're overreacting is a gross understatement. The point, though, is context. Not to say that it's okay that people are suffering and dying, even though that does happen to people and it's a normal part of life, which doesn't seem to be acknowledged today, or it's sprinting in the direction of some technocratic future where we can beat that, which is alarming. But context is really important here. Context, right? So if we're looking back on this and going, well, 36,000 people die a year, but 34,000 Americans died in this pandemic. We need to realize that there's more happening here, especially when we consider the pneumonia aspect of this that's being bundled onto something to make it look larger, especially when most pneumonia is far less severe than a lot of things we're talking about today. It says, meanwhile, according to the CDC's the National Center for Health Statistics, NCHS, quote, influenza pneumonia took 62,000 lives, a little over, in 2001, 61,777 of which were attributed to pneumonia. 62,034 lives in that category, 61,777 of which were pneumonia, 257 were the flu. How in the world can you call that flu and then label that flu deaths? It says, and only 18 cases was flu actually positively identified. Let that sink in. How do we even know that flu was even involved? Well, because they're guessing. And that's the next part here. We know that. This is what happens. And this, guys, is what's happening today. That's not even a secret. Between 1979 and 2002, the NCHS data show an average 1,348 flu deaths per year, range 257 to 3,006. The NCHS data would be compatible with CDC mortality estimates if about half of the deaths classed by them as pneumonia were actually flu-initiated secondary pneumonias, but the NCHS criteria indicate otherwise. Quote, cause of death statistics are based solely on the underlying cause of death, defined as WHO, as the disease or injury which initiated the train of events leading directly to death. In written statement, the CDC media relations responded to diverse statistics saying, quote, typically influenza causes death when the infection leads to severe medical complications. And as most such cases, quote, are never tested for virus infection, CDC considers these NCHS figures to be a very substantial undercounting of the true number of deaths from influenza. Well, that's a very beneficial assumption, wouldn't you say? Therefore, the CDC uses indirect modeling methods, sound familiar, to estimate the number of deaths associated with influenza. Associated with influenza. You see, because if you were saying 257 people die a year from influenza, people would be like, okay, get away from me. I don't need that thing. But you see, when they jam something in there, they can bolster the numbers, right? Which is what they're being called out for. You can see what happens. It says CDC models. Oh, excuse me. I want to read this last part. So I said, and as much such cases, quote, are never tested for virus infection, CDC considers these figures to be very substantial undercounting. Therefore, the CDC uses indirect modeling methods to estimate the number of deaths. So, okay, I did read that. The CDC's model calculated an average annual 36,155 deaths from influenza associated underlying respiratory and circulatory causes. Less than a quarter of these were described as flu or flu-associated underlying pneumonia deaths. Less than a quarter. Thus, the much publicized figure of 36,000 is not an estimate of yearly flu deaths as widely reported, and you could otherwise call as otherwise lied about in both the lay and scientific press, but in fact, an estimate generated by a model of flu-associated deaths between deaths and viral data available. Oh, excuse me, I did jump below. I thought so. That was weird. But an estimate generated by a model of flu-associated death. An estimate of a model of associated death. Do you realize how ridiculous that is? That's three steps removed. You're guessing about a model of associated death and saying, that's all flu deaths. You're all in danger. Just wait for the last part. This gets ridiculous. Now, Thompson of the CDC's National Immunization Program and lead author of the CDC's study we talked about explained that, quote, influenza-associated mortality is, quote, a statistical association between deaths and viral data available. Based on modeling, we think it's associated. That's another way of saying that is we guessed. We guess it's connected. And then we yell about it and say you're in danger and force you to get injected. Children, most likely, or most commonly. I don't know that we would say that it's the underlying cause of death. What? It says, yet this stance is incompatible with the CDC assertion that the flu kills 36,000 people a year, a misrepresentation that is yet to be publicly corrected. This is 2017. We're still there. Now get this. At the 2004 National Influenza Vaccine Summit, co-sponsored by CDC and American Medical Association, Glenn Nowak, Associate Director for the Communications at the NIP, spoke on using the media to boost demand for the vaccines. Openly. One step of the seven-step recipe for generating interest in and demand for flu vaccinations or any other occurs when, quote, medical experts and public health authorities publicly state concern and alarm and predict dire outcomes and urge influenza vaccination. You realize this is independent of whether that's even the case. That's what this is all about. They're saying we need to get up and yell at people and say we're in danger. We're all scared. And by the way, these are this year, the next year, the years they're doing this, we're not any of note. Now it says preceding the summit, demand had been low early into the 2003 flu season, right? This is the point they're making. Quote, at that point, the manufacturers were telling us that they weren't receiving a lot of orders for vaccine use in November and even December. So what you're seeing there, what they're showing you, this is recalled by Dr. Nowak on NPR. What you're seeing there is decisions, policies are being driven by vaccine creators, vaccine producers. Manufacturers were telling them, we're not getting a lot of orders. So they go up and go, we need to tell people they're in danger. That's not even hard to see. It says it really did look like we needed to do something to encourage people to get a flu shot, they said. If flu is in fact not a major cause of death, this public relations approach is surely exaggerated. Exactly. Moreover, by arbitrarily linking flu with pneumonia, current data are statistically biased. Until corrected and until unbiased statistics are developed, the chances for sound discussion and public health policy are limited. Guys, this is the exact point where we are today. This is exactly what's happening today. And nobody's saying anything. And maybe somebody like this will point it out after the fact and ignore the fact that all of us were pointing it out while it was happening. But this is the reality. Bringing it over to the next point, just to kind of reiterate the changing of, you know, that we were just talking about the definitions changing and manipulations. I mean, just, I want to make sure people understand how important these things were. Let this reflect on this through the entire show today, because this is showing you exactly the kind of manipulation that was even called out from within their circles and then shoved away. This exact kind of manipulation, right? Like we're going to talk about next. Thank you for HOVS, for Hobbs, for pointing this out. Always want to give credit where we can. This is a Daily Mail article that this person caught lying to you in a really crazy way, by the way. Thank you, Marshall, for putting the P.O. box in the chat there. I appreciate that. That's one of the best places you guys can support this channel until they somehow close down my P.O. box, which will probably happen. But thank you, Hobbs, for pointing this out. This is actually pretty crazy. This is, of course, stupid mail, Daily Mail, even on the way back machine here, real quick before it goes away. COVID infection rates in England are still going up. That's what it said, right? When they published this, this is how they reported it. COVID infection rates are still going up. Okay, so they're telling you what's going on. ONS figures show an increase despite dramatic plunge in daily. So they're telling you that it's going up. There's a problem. It's increasing, whether it's cases or anything else, right? So then they change the title. You want to see what they change it to? Well, they got rid of the entire discussion of cases going up, and they just were like, well, another sign that third wave may be over. Let's jump to another stat to lie to you about what's happening. Well, hospitalizations in England fall. Now, understand what I'm saying is not necessarily that what they were saying on either side of this was the truth, but this is what they're doing, right? They're over here going, oh my God, it's up. Now their narrative for some reason is to say, oh, it's going down. Now, why do I think this is shifting? Because right now what is happening is the vaccinated are causing what's happening. And there's a great article from Daily Exposé we're going to show in a second that makes that very clear, at least in Scotland's data. The point is that they're now switching to show you that it's maybe, oh, it's getting better because they want you to think the vaccines are working, and they're not. And it's clearly happening almost predominantly in the vaccinated side based on the data around the world. Now, I'm happy to take in more data from somewhere that anybody wants to point out is allegedly coming from this 99.2% stat that nobody can verify, that I showed you came from one study based on three-fourths of less of the states, not even including some of the biggest, and clearly not including all the data, as even the CDC said. That's why they didn't say anything. So it's an AP assessment of limited data that they came to a conclusion on that everybody just cites as absolute fact. That's crazy ridiculous. It's not the case, and I haven't seen anything to back it up. And in fact, I've seen countless things to make the case on the other side of it. But bottom line is, why would the Daily Mail have to change this? Because they're trying to keep a narrative going, guys. You know, this is literally the different, exact opposite of what they're saying here. I just think that's incredible. Look at it for yourself. Read them if you dare. It's crazy, crazy manipulation, and it's everywhere right now. Now, talking about the variant discussion here, I find it absolutely ridiculous that we're staring at the media, as I keep showing you. Now, whether or not we're talking about the... Let me see if that just changed on me. No, it didn't. So the Daily Mail is really weird how it'll out of nowhere just take you back to their homepage and you won't be able to go back to where this page was. I don't know why they would do that. It seems like it hurts their, I don't know. Anyway, the media in almost every way is very clearly trying to lay shade and gaslight around what's really happening. Now, we're going to show you a Washington Post article and some others that are saying, look at all these vaccinated people that got sick. But you read the article, it's clear that they're trying to kind of wrap you and then bring you back into the idea that, well, this is only because they're all vaccinated and then it just means it's working. And it's because of it. And that's what they're doing. And at the same time, trying to sell you on, even though 74% of them got sick or whatever, we'll get to the story in a minute, that none of them were in the hospital. None of them were sick. And that's what, it's not the truth based on all the data we're seeing. Maybe that's because that's why they picked that story. So they could scream about how none of them got sick, but the world is showing you quite the opposite. Now here's Axios, cherry picking a very manipulated database. Again, this is the exact same data we're pointing to that the CDC tells you is completely limited. Yet all the mainstream media is happy to grab what they like from it and share it as fact, right? You know, according to the CDC, yes, according to the data from the CDC, the data the CDC just said isn't complete. And that's why they haven't reported it. Didn't include that in your little blip, did you? The point is that that's constantly happening. Now, when we report full data from peer-reviewed science that goes against what they're saying, well, suddenly we're fake news because they don't like it. Axios says of 164 million vaccinated Americans, less than 0.01% have been infected with the coronavirus and 0.011% have died. Now, of course, you can think about 1,000 reasons why that's not accurate. Well, because we're using different cycle thresholds for two different sides, which is guaranteed to make these things look different. There's a huge portion of people that are vaccinated that are being told they're not sick, and they just call it something else. They call it long COVID. They call it anything else. Or even just call, I mean, just pretend it's vaccine side effects that go on for a very long time and then pretend like that's not actually happening too. All of this is being disregarded and ignored. On top of that, we know on both sides of this, that they're not reporting everything. That's also what the CDC says. I'll show you next. HHS and Harvard told you that less than 1% of this of effects in this regard get reported, whether it's vaccine, whether it's anything else. People, after being vaccinated, do not want to report that they're getting sick. So they just tough it out. And if one of them die at their house, are we ever going to find out whether or not it was the vaccine? Of course not. It'll be some kind of pneumonia that doesn't get associated with COVID. And they'll play it the way they want it to. Exactly like they've been called out for more than once, right? Misleading and false data. That's why those are important. Now, the point here, as they show you, 99.9% not infected, breakthrough case, that data does not make any sense with any other location. Now, if we had the data that they're claiming there, and actually we do, by the way, and I'll show you right here, the point is you could show that that is cherry picking. At the very least, it is guessing based on limited information, which I keep showing. This is on this COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough case investigation on the CDC website. This is what they say now, and I'll just show you what it said before they changed it. It says the number of COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough infections reported to CDC likely are an undercount of all infections fully vaccinated people. Okay. If they're telling you it's likely an undercount, how is it not misinformation for the media to report that as the facts? It is, obviously. And if we did that in a different situation, like if it was reversed and we did this showing you that it didn't work, we'd be called fake news and censored for it. It's becoming clownishly ridiculous how obvious this is. An undercount, meaning there's more than that, which we know because we just showed you that over 100,000 cases were kept quiet from your view because that's totally honest, right? It's about keeping you safe, but we're hiding all these infections from you. National surveillance relies on passive and voluntary reporting, and data might not be complete or representative. That's why the CDC said they are not reporting this yet because they're still, but here's all the media rushing to point it out. These surveillance data are a snapshot and help identify patterns and look for signals among vaccine breakthrough cases, except they're ignoring that, though. Data on patients with vaccine breakthrough infections who were hospitalized or died will be updated regularly. Now, again, note what that says. What they said first was, and I'll show you next, they're going to not report anything else. So breakthrough cases that aren't hospitalized or died, we're not going to tell you about. Meanwhile, we're, you know, padding the numbers on the COVID-19 side with anybody that tests positive with PCR test in 28 days. That's it. And they're open about that. That's all for your safety, though. Yet we don't do it on the other side, even though you're telling us there's still COVID-19 cases, because that totally makes sense. maybe the assumption is, or the choice is to help you think that means that they're definitely not dangerous, even though we're showing them all these people dying. And we're going to get to the data that shows you that most of the people that are getting sick and hospitalized and dying are actually vaccinated. It's an illusion. It's painting you a picture they hope you lean into. Data on patients with vaccine breakthrough cases or hospital or they're only showing you hospitalized or died. Now, then what if they don't show you the people that just have a case but aren't sick and then they get sick? Again, the point is that they're not following up on this stuff at all. And I've made that 100 clear more times than I can count. But down here, it says vaccine breakthrough cases occur in only a small percentage of vaccinated people. That's not true. We literally just showed you the data that even the Washington Post was reporting, even the Wall Street Journal. And yet they're still yelling at you. My point is that this, they can argue, well, we just haven't updated this yet, which is what they've done at least three times I've seen. Right, where they come down here and they say, oh, but we just were failed to run. You know, you go back and you find out that they update it way later. It's easy to play both games, to update this part here, but not this part down here. But it says to date, no unexpected patterns have been identified. Are you kidding me? So you're telling me it's expected that hundreds of thousands of people are getting sick? Of course not. They know that. And they're going to pretend like this is just still there. Our bad. COVID-19. Oh, get this is funny. COVID-19 vaccines are effective. Oh, I guess they remove safe. I wonder why. I guess they've been safe and effective this whole time, and now they're just effective. That makes you feel good, doesn't it? Well, people who have been fully vaccinated can resume activities they did prior. Well, that's flagrantly untrue. Everybody, we literally, and that's my point. They're going to be, oh, we just didn't update it yet. Well, we rushed in and updated this part up here. They just don't care. This is a subjective manipulation of data that they flow at you however they see fit. Right now, vaccinated people are still being locked down, wearing masks and distancing and everything else. They're not being allowed to do much at all, in fact. But they'll still scream it at you because they want you to think the narrative. Here's what it said before. This is, I believe, the first day it came out. It's important to note that reported vaccine breakthrough cases will represent an undercount. You see the difference? Not here it is, likely an undercount. Now here, the point, nothing changed, by the way. They're still counting the same way. So it's funny that it went from will be an undercount to likely an undercount with no changing. That's a choice. That is a manipulative choice to muddy the waters a little bit, maybe in erring on the side of their narrative. Then it says the surveillance system is passive and relies on the same thing that may not be complete. And it says not all real world breakthrough cases will be identified because of a lack of testing. This is particularly true in instances of asymptomatic and mild. Okay. And now they're testing everywhere. They're just kind of, again, same thing. They're playing it both ways. A CDC state health department shift to focus only on investigating vaccine breakthrough cases that result in hospitalization or death. Those data will regularly be updated and posted every Friday, which, by the way, they stopped for a minute too, but they switched and they're trying to hide it and change the cycle threshold. But it's all honest about full information, right? Full, clear transparency would be all the information. But you see, they're so desperate to stop vaccine hesitancy that they're hiding the truth from you because the truth is creating vaccine hesitancy. It's pretty simple. Now, to make a couple points on that before we get to the expose article, these are some of the most obvious examples of why this doesn't make sense and why the data in Israel, in Gibraltar, in Malta, and some of the most highly vaccinated places on the planet make it impossible to see. It makes it very clear what's really happening. Now, I showed you Malta. I'll show you again next, but I want to start with the first, the newer one. Here's Gibraltar. Both of them are small areas. And Iceland too, by the way, small areas, but that's the main point here is because these are microcosms, especially when they're islands, it's even better. They both, Gibraltar and Iceland are both seeing massive spikes in COVID cases, despite over 90% population vaccinated. Now, this doesn't make any sense in their narrative, despite everything they're screaming at you. And that's why they're ignoring it. They're not coming out and going, here's why. Let me explain why this makes sense. Nope. Just as always, when they know this is destroying their narrative, they just put it aside and they hope you don't look at it. Now, I'm sure there's some kind of talking point circulating on Twitter on what they're supposed to say. Maybe it's fake news. That's an easy one, right? But either way, it shows you the reality. By June 1st, over 99% of Gibraltar's population was fully vaccinated. Over 99%. Since that time, new COVID cases per day have increased more than 2,500%. Let that sink in. Now, if they were, this is going back to pre-July, right? So June 1st. So you're telling me that since then, they've got all these people injected, and this is maybe at the beginning of the Delta. You could maybe scream the Delta is the problem, but we're showing you the Delta is not, in fact, more dangerous. And on top of that, if they have all these people vaccinated, how is it continuing to affect everybody? right? We'll get into that right now and how the vaccine is very clearly causing the variants, which is what all of the data is showing us. And now even the mainstream media is grudgingly admitting with some secondary information to try to muddy the waters, as always. But exactly how we get censored for the things that they then later come out and go, yeah, but here's why. But we were right, as always. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. We're not always right. But in the case of this COVID-19 manipulation, it's been pretty ridiculous how we're just spot on. And the reason that's why, I'm not saying that's because we're always right with our estimations or assessments. It's because I'm, like I keep saying, irritatingly objective. I'm going out of my way to read the data, look at the science, and then reflect on what it says. It's kind of hard to be wrong when you're clearly just going by the facts that we can prove. Happens, but that's why we continue to stay on the path here, because it's clearly leading us in the right direction. But we should be questioning everything regardless. 99% population vaccinated, and still they're spiking right now, and nobody wants to talk about that. Iceland, let's see where Iceland was. Israel is the other point, right? I wasn't even going to talk about it, but Israel is one of the most vaccinated places on the planet, and they're already starting to give third shots. And by the way, Israel, I think that was in the expose article, but Israel had their population almost fully vaccinated by early January. And yet they're still struggling with Delta. Why does nobody point that out? That shows you that the concept that getting vaccinated before the variant doesn't change the fact that the variant's not stopping. If you believe that whole narrative, the point is that people are still struggling over there regardless. And I believe it's because of the vaccine, based on all the data we can see. But Iceland, Gibraltar, Malta, all dealing with the same thing. Here's Malta. And I just showed you, by the way, remember I keep showing you that this wasn't popping up. Now it's back. Who knows why? Very strange. Well, hold before I refresh it, make sure it doesn't go away. So now they're up to 75%. Now remember, back in May, before the big surge of Delta, for the bulk of it anyway, they claim to have reached herd immunity. Over 70% of their population, according to Fauci and everybody else, they should be good to go. But they're not. They're not, right? According to the media anyway. Spikes in cases, right? But nobody wants to point out that 381,000 people in their population, 75% of this island, have been fully injected since May. How do you explain that? You don't. Unless you just ignore it. This shows you at the very least that there's something off here. If this is possible in Malta, if this is possible in Gibraltar and Iceland, with 90%, 99% of the population being vaccinated, then the vaccines don't work. The injections don't work. It's pretty simple. And you're seeing the very clear evidence of that. Now, they're going to continue to try to point back and say, it's only because that group of people, half the country, didn't get injected. So now it's not working. Now we have to start all over again. But there's no scientific logic to that. There's just not. And there's plenty of experts telling you that. Now, here was Malta showing you again their cases. Oh, my gosh, because they're testing again. But there's no deaths. If there's no deaths, two. None, zero, 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 zero. Look at this whole gap of zero, one, two. It's not there. They're not in danger. Guys, you realize this even includes the over 70s, over 60s, over 50s, right? According to all the data, if you're under 50, you do not need anything. You're good. Less risk than the flu, even according to their data. I believe I have it up. I'll show you today. 0.05% of under 50 years old. That's incredible. Now, sure, they claim it jumps to like 5%, way up above 70, but this is a wildly skewed data set based on manipulated data from the very beginning. Lies, you know, lying with data. But even with all that and the false PCR tests and the combination of flu and pneumonia, we are still staring at them telling you under 50, you're basically at no risk, at the very least less than the flu. It's just painful how obvious this is. Here's another quick example. Somebody shared with me Dane County. Just showing you a little microcosm. I think this was Robert Malone that shared this. So I think he said, you know, data from the ground, right? And here's the point. This is another area, another microcosm showing you that they reached their goal. Here's the target range they were going for, and they reached a good amount past that. They're almost at 70% vaccinated. They're in their target range, and the target range was supposed to imply that they were safe, that they reach herd immunity, right? But that's not what's happening. In this county, they are struggling. Cases increased during this 14-day period, 27, you know, they're the same thing. But 70% of all people have received at least one, 67% have received two. They met their goal, and yet they're seeing an increase in cases. But guess what they're not seeing? Deaths. That's the point. an increase in cases because you're testing and you're testing and you're testing with a test that's very clearly designed, in my opinion, in this context to create an illusion. Which brings us to the point of the real information, the real data that you should take the time to look at. Now, in the interest of time, I'm going to read through the main points. I have all the information here, and I continue to shout out the praises of Daily Exposé in this because they continue to give you the full information. The data, they continue to give you, oh, shoot, I just realized something. I did it again. Dang it. I keep forgetting to hit go live on Rockfin. I apologize to everybody for that. I'll circle back and upload it. Now, they're doing a great job on this because they give you the data. They link to the data. They give you the things, they give you the information, and they explain it to you in a full, so you can read it for yourself. Right, which shows me that they care more about you knowing the reality, knowing the truth, than them being the focal point of all the attention. Right, there's plenty of leading commentators on Twitter that that share good information that drive me crazy because they only share screenshots, and then the link and then the title, and then people share their thing as the fact. Even Discord TV and a lot of these places are kind of not sharing links anymore and just the data. Share the link. People keep saying, hey, why don't you share the link? And that because it needs to circulate, guys. If you circulate a title and an image, people who don't want to know about it will say fake news because there's no link. That's probably fake. It's easy for them to dismiss it. We need to be better than them. Share the link, share the information. And that's why I love what they're doing here. And there's a title. COVID-19 deaths are rising and official data shows 87% of people who have died were vaccinated. Now, you'll see what this means. This is in a specific context, but it's still a fair statement. Now, it says, Public Health Scotland have released a weekly report on COVID-19 statistics covering data on testing, vaccinations, hospitalizations, and deaths. We've been studying the reports by the week and recently told you how the report released on the 23rd of June 2021 announced that 5,522 people had died within 28 days of having a COVID-19 vaccine in Scotland. Now, it said, for instance, Table 15 of their 28th July report on the number of alleged COVID-19 positive cases presents as follows. Now, as always, they give the link right there. They even got the shot. And here it is right there, right on the website. They're not trying to trick you, guys. They're doing a good job. And here, and you'll see that they same highlighted, same information. We'll jump back over here. What they're saying is you could see the information showing you an interesting skew even before it starts to get really bad. It says the above clearly shows that the majority of positive cases of COVID-19 between specifically June 26th and the 23rd of July have been people who weren't vaccinated, accounting for 57% of all cases. But before we even go any further, that's a huge difference than what we're being told. Yes, this is Scotland, but we're seeing, arguably we're talking about the same situation if what they keep telling you is the same. If we they keep telling you is in fact the situation that Delta is rising and all these places and they're all dealing right. So if 57% of the cases of people who weren't, that means that way more than 99 or than what it would be 0.8% of people are struggling or vaccinated, right? Because they're saying 99.2% are unvaccinated. Well, that clearly challenges that. But it says, however, in the most recent week, and this is where it gets interesting, between the 17th of July and the 23rd of July, we can see that the tables have turned. And those who've had the COVID-19 vaccine account for 52% of positive cases. So it switches in that part of the, and this is what we're going to see, I believe, is that they're going to continue to, it's going to switch, which it already has. Because vaccinated people are getting vaccinated and half the country, as it goes forward, we're going to see more and more problems as they continue to get sick. And less people get sick on the other side of it because they've already had an infection and they've got natural immunity, which I've covered 1,000 times, as the WHO, Nature, even the NIH tell you. Lasting immunity up possibly for the rest of your life. Up to 99% of people. They tell you over 160 million have already had this thing. The point is, the more this grows, the less people are going to be infected. If you believe their narrative, but the people who will get infected are the people getting the injection that we played in the beginning for you, that removes the antibodies from your blood. So we can clearly see why this is causing the problem. And it also adds a lot of risk.
Your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Pretty clear. Right. I mean, it's I play that often just because it's mainstream reporting it. And we verified this with the Red Cross before they changed their website, like everything else. And we showed you that right on the show. I think we're staring at a pretty obvious reality here, that that is what the people who are being vaccinated, not only is it removing those antibodies, but it's causing all sorts of other things. It's causing the problem. It's causing the illness. The spike protein is causing disease, as the Salk Institute told you. It is spreading through your blood, as the Oxford study showed you. And they're all clearly shedding through your body, as one of the creators of mRNA told you on his own account. He himself told you this. One of the creators of mRNA, or the discoverers, told you that this is, of course it's shedding. Right? I mean, it's incredible how we can have this whole process. And then you add on the idea of the mRNA, which has its own problems. You add the nanoparticles, which clearly cause similar problems. All of this is causing problems for people who are vaccinated. On top of that, as I said, first, they're removing antibodies, so you can get sick. It's obvious. So that's going to grow on one side and lessen on the other, if you believe their narrative. And here we are. This is what this is showing you. Now it goes forward to say table 16 of the PHS, 28th Public Health Scotland, 28th July report is also presented in the same fashion, showing weekly totals within the past 4 weeks of the number of COVID-19 related hospital admissions. Again, here's the graph on the next report. All this will be included. But again, all the links are in their website anyway, on the article. Now it says the above shows a slightly different story, though to what we have seen in terms of confirmed cases. That's because the majority of hospital admissions have been people who have been vaccinated, accounting for 50.8% of all admissions. Quite different than what we're hearing from the mainstream media. Again, guys, the data is right here for you to check for yourself. It says what's interesting about this is the number of admissions against the number of alleged positive cases. It says from the 26th of June to the 23rd of July, 2021, Public Health Scotland claimed that 38,067 positive cases of COVID-19 were confirmed in the unvaccinated population. However, within the same time frame, just 15,485 positive cases of COVID-19 were confirmed in the fully vaccinated population. However, of the unvaccinated population, 863 people have been hospitalized in the same time frame, whereas the fully vaccinated population, 763 people have been hospitalized in the same time frame. This means that just 2.3% of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the unvaccinated population have been resulted in hospitalizations. Whereas, and this is what's important, 5% of confirmed COVID cases in fully vaccinated people have resulted in hospitalization. That's double the amount of people who have been confirmed to have these are hospitalized who have been vaccinated. What does that sound like? Didn't we just show you the Israeli data telling you that it doubles your chances of getting... This is obvious correlation between what Israel's finding and everything else we're telling you. They have twice as much risk, in this case, according to Scotland Public Health Scotland, of being hospitalized if they've been vaccinated after they catch this. That sounds like antibody-dependent enhancement to me, based on what we've seen in the peer-reviewed research that tells you that's a significant and specific risk that should have been told to people. Obviously, it's a problem. Crazy. It says there is a slight flaw to this analysis in respect of there will be a lag between confirmed cases and hospitalizations. But even so, this clearly shows that the jabs are not quite doing what they claim to be on the tin, like what they say they should do. Now, there's a lot of great information here. Again, like I said, in the interest of time, as we're out of an hour, just jumping down here to the main point. I want you guys, please go through all this. And again, I can't sing the praises enough for this website. They've been doing a fantastic job on this topic and before. And it says, as of the 8th of July, 64 deaths were in the fully vaccinated population, because it gets into a specific part of this development. That's what this has done a good job of showing you, is how this how it's evolved and these percentages have grown. And it shows you that 64 were in the fully vaccinated population. As of the 15th of July, 92 deaths were in the fully vaccinated population. This is an increase of 28. This means that people who have been vaccinated against COVID-19 account for 87% of the deaths in the third wave of deaths in Scotland that have just begun. This is the point that this is like I was saying before, the escalation of how this is shifting, the evolving landscape of this. And as this begins, it's clearly heavily on the side of the vaccinated. It says the fully vaccinated account for 74% of the deaths that have only just begun to occur again. Those who had a single dose amount for just 13% of the deaths, and the unvaccinated account for just 13% of the deaths. This is despite the fact that fully vaccinated account for just 23% of the cases seen in the previous 4 weeks. Where is everybody, the U.S. and everybody else are clearly misrepresenting or lying about what's going on. It says, by unpicking the data that Public Health Scotland have cleverly attempted to hide, we have proven that you are more likely to be hospitalized and more likely to die if you are infected with COVID-19 after being vaccinated. Now, that's one way to say that. You could also argue that maybe the vaccine is literally causing the illness that's increasing your risk. I mean, because I can't say that for sure. If it is the fact that you're catching it and then getting even more sick, that does back up the fact that the antibodies are being removed, since most people had this before, so based on even what they're telling us, and as well as the fact that it clearly points to antibody-dependent enhancement, because that's how that works. You get the injection, then you catch the natural virus, and you are more sick than if you hadn't gotten the injection. But it's also good to consider that this injection is just causing these problems that might just be being misrepresented as something else like COVID-19. Either way you look at it, guys, the problem is on the side of the vaccinations. And this is not just some tit for tat thing where we go, no, it's you, not us. And that's how they're trying to frame it on the other side. The pandemic of the unvaccinated, as they all scream about, it's not about that. It's about the data and what we can prove. And that's what we're looking at. Look at it for yourself. The mainstream media doesn't provide the links for you because they don't want you to think about things. They want you to blindly trust what they're saying. Which, by the way, makes it all the more interesting that even now, even the mainstream media is being forced to leak out the things that we keep telling you and keep getting censored for. I know that's a redundant point on the show, but it's not the same point. Every single day, there's another point that we get corrected, we get vindicated on, that they kind of like limp into. And they're like, well, it's kind of what they said, but there's more to the story. But not really, when you read what they're saying. Here's what the Business Insider says. Guess what? Coronavirus transmission among vaccinated people could raise the risk of even more dangerous variants. Yes, exactly like we just reported. Exactly like we showed you in the research that was saying the same thing in the past, before COVID-19, and even the current scientific research. They're showing you that vaccinated people could have the same viral load, that you can be twice as at risk, all the different things we just talked about, all coming from mainstream outlets. But what they're showing you here is that when you're vaccinated, you raise the risk, you increase the risk of dangerous variants. Now, what do we show you about the science? The scientific research. But someone just pointed out, by the way, when I accidentally say the science, that's not unintentional. I've gotten so accustomed to making fun of it that sometimes it slips out. We're talking about the scientific research, the breadth of the research, not just the science. Because anybody who says the science and means it and not like accidentally, like I keep slipping out and saying it, is either going along with a certain talking point and not aware how that's a stupid thing to say, or actually believes that there's such a thing as the science and that's settled, while simultaneously saying that it evolves and we change our opinion when it works for politics, right? It's dumb. The scientific research, as Danny Rencourt points out, is always evolving. You trust the scientific method, not a scientist or a doctor or the science. But again, what they're saying is vaccinated people could raise the risk of a more dangerous variant. Studies suggest that transmission among vaccinated people could lead to new variants. You don't say. Who said that before? Oh, I didn't. I swear I had this up already. Oh, it's right here. Well, the effect is lessened, but who said that before? I did, right? This is, you know, so the topic was not proving anything, but simply going, are COVID vaccines creating variants? Well, let's look at what scientific research says, right? Sounds like a totally subjective fake news story, right? Of course, because the YouTube censoring platform removed the entire thing, despite the fact that is in fact what we're talking about here. It's just kind of funny, isn't it? That's what the mainstream's reporting, that it can't happen. That's what I reported, and that got censored because I wasn't allowed to say it, right? Not TLAB. TLAB can't say that kind of stuff. We only when we allow the media to drip it out when we're ready for them to say it, so we can undermine it with some secondary points. Nope, that's how this works. But it says, according to the research published Friday in a journal, Scientific Reports, vaccinated people, and this is the funny part, counterintuitively play a role at the risk. No, that's not counterintuitively. It would be counterintuitively if the past research had said the opposite. But I'm going to show you again, as I've shown you before, that that's not the case. That that's absolutely not the case. That we've known this for quite a long time. And they just don't like pointing it out. But counterintuitively, the thing that we've known forever, the best way to stop coronavirus deaths and severe illness is to roll out vaccines quickly, they say. Right, so stomach for a minute how they're going to say vaccines are causing a problem, and the best way to solve that problem is to increase the use of the thing causing the problem. It should send you laughing, falling out of your chair, but that's what they'll do the whole time. It says, however, the research concluded that the chance a vaccine-resistant strain will emerge, note that they say vaccine-resistant strain, is highest in a scenario that combines three conditions. obviously, where there's a vaccine present, because how else could you have a vaccine resistant strain without a vaccine present for it to fight around, which very clearly shows you what causes things to change. But put that aside for a minute. First is a large portion of the population is vaccinated. Okay. So obviously that's what we're talking about today. But by the way, you already see this happening in places where 40% are vaccinated. So I guess that's not entirely true. The point is though, but not everyone. So what does that show you? A first condition that will always be there forever. You're just like every other vaccine administration in the past. Do they vaccinate 100% of the population? That's never happened. They don't do that. It never happens because there's always somebody. So the point is that the first scenario they lay out for you is a constant portion of the population vaccinated, but not everybody. Okay. So let's go to the next one. Second, there's a lot of virus circulating. Okay. Well, that is always the case. Think about the flu. Every single year, the flu comes back and surges every single year. But wait a minute, we vaccinate a lot of people every year. Okay. So far, we have two situations that are always there. Number three, no measures are in place to curb potential viral transmission. Oh, you mean like masks and lockdowns and stuff that we only started doing after COVID-19 that is now seemingly are always the case? And if we don't do them, we're in danger? Exactly. So what this is painting for you is a picture of what the rest of your life will be. There will always be a population with vaccinations. There will always be a population that doesn't have them. So one, there will always be virus circulating because that's always the case, as our past histories have shown us, if you believe in that concept and the idea that they are continuing to come back every year. Two, and that no measures are in place and that's going to continue to spread, implying that we have to mask and lock down for the rest of our lives and you're not going to have everybody doing it. So number three, forever. They're painting a picture that creates a scenario that makes this is the forever war in your body. Adding to the forever wars. It's never going away. And we've been saying that from the beginning, and we're almost 2 years in. I hope we recognize how obvious that is. The bottom line is a large portion of the population vaccinated is where we are now. So, and of course, that's where we are in regard to the flu, at least in certain years, but not everyone. So what does this show you? If every year it comes back and there's virus circulating, which causes variants, the point is that the injections are causing the variants. What they're trying to make is a picture where they're pointing to the unvaccinated in that scenario, and that's why the vaccines aren't completely working. But again, you're never going to vaccinate everybody, so there's always going to be an excuse for why it didn't get everybody. But let me play another scenario in your mind here. How about we pull away from the vaccination discussion and say, okay, well, everybody caught the flu, everybody got antibodies for the flu, and then the flu came next year and it didn't need to change because there was nothing stopping it and everybody fought off the flu. Well, now there's not a virus circulating. We don't need the vaccines and we don't need the measures to stop it. Isn't that interesting how that changes? So when you insert the injection into the scenario as if that's a given and it starts causing problems because you can't get everybody, which will never happen, and the virus continues to circulate because it continues to bump up against something that it constantly evolves around, and you continue to need these curves and so they tell you because people keep getting sick, well, that's a guaranteed way to keep this going. But all you do is pull out the vaccination and suddenly everything works properly. You know why? Because your body was designed to be like this. Your body has an immune system, right? As my shirt that I wear, my mask is on the inside. It's called my immune system. And you fight these things off and suddenly the antibodies are there. And when the antibodies are there and there's not something it needs to fight against, well, it doesn't need to mutate. And maybe it does one day slightly after a long period of time and people get a little bit sick again, they create antibodies and there you go, it's counted again. The vaccine inserted into this is the problem. And I'll show you that again next. But it goes on to say before the rise of Delta, which is what they keep trying to pretend, that this wasn't happening before. That's not true either. And we've already shown you that. But it says that situation wasn't a concern because research suggested vaccinated people weren't likely to transmit other versions of the virus. Now, don't let that be lost on you. This is Business Insider pointing to the CDC and saying that before the Delta variant, which is now responsible for the 80% of the cases, that situation wasn't a concern because research suggested vaccinated people weren't likely to transmit other versions. That clearly implies that they were able to transmit earlier versions, you know, at a time when they weren't telling you that they were able to transmit even if they were vaccinated, even though we were telling you that, because they never tried to find out. This is likely, and I can almost guarantee, why people like Tal Zaks, one of the leading individuals in Moderna, openly stated, I believe it was on Forbes, that all they had to do was be paid more and they would have found out whether it stopped transmission. You see, but I don't think they wanted it to stop transmission because that's what keeps this variant game going. And you know who would have paid them? The U.S. government. So that represents a conscious choice by the government to not pay to find out whether it would stop the very thing they're claiming they're making it for. Because that totally makes sense, right? Okay. So if they were able to transmit the earlier versions, that means they knew they could transmit it in the beginning and didn't say anything until way later, until they could claim it was the Delta variant and vaccinated, even though it was been happening the whole time. Perfect. But going back to their point, they're saying the research suggested they weren't able to transmit other versions. But according to the CDC study released Friday, vaccinated people may transmit Delta variant just as easily as the unvaccinated. Now, recognize what that's saying. There's people right now flipping out about that's not accurate and the media is misrepresented. It's funny how these pundits on Twitter are now even challenging the mainstream media, because it's like, and it's just funny how the gospel is what they're defending. If the mainstream media is telling you that, and the independent media is telling you that, and it's backed up by the data, they're losing their minds right now because it's challenging the narrative that they've been holding on to so desperately. Vaccinated people may transmit the Delta variant just as easily. That's because we showed you that they can have potentially the same hot viral load, and even Fauci just told you that, and I'll show you that in a second. The vaccine inserted into this problem is what's creating the problem. That's what we're staring at right here. Now, it says that could help explain the recent surge in U.S. cases. In the last month, the country's seven-day average of new daily cases has more than quintupled, except the deaths have completely continued to bottom out, right? That's the point. All we point to is cases, and we just go, oh, but the cases, and the deaths are continuing to go down. If and when they see a spike in death, that's all they talk about. But then when they don't, oh, the cases. The researchers conclude that in an environment where Delta is spreading among all people, which is happening right now, regardless of vaccination status, and remember that according to Israeli data, if you've had this before, it was 0.008%. You're not at risk. Far more less risk than any other situation before this. So if you've had this before, which is most of this country, as even the NIH and the WHO and everyone else has admitted, then you're not at risk, especially with Delta. But it is continuing to circulate, according to them, and that's why the vaccines are creating this problem. And it says, regardless of vaccination status, it is imperative to get more people vaccinated, they say, immediately, to prevent the emergence of a new vaccine. Are you serious? So their argument is that if you have vaccinated people and some people not, it will create more dangerous variants. So the argument is to force everybody as fast as possible to get everybody injected. But what about the variants that pop up in the current situation? And that doesn't apply to where we go, and then we have to start all over again, right? This is stupid. If we know that the vaccine removed, which we then all create antibodies for, will cause this to not mutate, then how about we just remove the vaccine from the situation and we solve the problem? But you see, they're forcing in what they want to be the solution and saying, until we reach that, this solution won't work. Well, maybe the problem is that you're forcing in your solution. Interesting way to think about it. This is desperation in the way that they're trying to frame this. More people getting vaccinated, otherwise we're not going to stop. And that's obvious to me. But this is a guaranteed way to make this never stop. Now, here is Mark Lobenler, just the person that shared this. So I want to appreciate that, sharing Alan Roberts. Now, here's Denny Rancourt pointing out twisted CDC logic, right? So this is where we are right now. When a vaccine is proven not to work in the population, then we must vaccinate more. Exactly. Fantastic. Thank God there are some honest researchers and doctors and scientists out there still. But don't forget, going into the variant discussion, as they're continuing to scream about how it's only the unvaccinated, we just talked about the SAGE, the 93rd SAGE meeting in the UK, the ones making most of the policy there for this concept. There are four major risks associated with high numbers of infections. This is exactly the point they're making in this article. Four of them. When you have high numbers of infections, there are an increase in hospitalizations and deaths, more long COVID, they say, workforce absence, and the increased risk of new variants emerging. The combination of a high prevalence and high levels of vaccination create the conditions in which an immune escape variant is most likely to emerge. And that is a situation that is guaranteed to be present if you are forcing vaccinations or just continuing to vaccinate. Every year, like the flu situation, every year they force the injections. Then you have a situation where you've got vaccinations and prevalence of the disease or the infection. And then every year you get new variants. That's what's happening. Right now we've got the high prevalence because even the vaccinator is spreading it, which you're going to love the next study, which makes that exact point. And you've also got the people who are, you have the high prevalence and high levels of vaccination, because the vaccinations, vaccinated people are still spreading it, even according to them. And people are passing this around because they're not actually being hurt by it. And that is creating all this stuff. And what is causing that? The vaccine. If the vaccine was not there, people would have the issue. This is like the Great Barrington Declaration. I'm not even saying I necessarily call for this. This, honestly, this would make the most sense. But the point is that we already see that the under 50, you're not even at risk. The problem is that you protect the elderly people and you let this do its thing like the flu and anything else. And the antibodies are then what fight this off forever, which is what they're telling you. Even the CDC, even the WHO, they're telling you that the problem is both. And all they can do is then we need to get rid of natural immunity. That's basically what they're saying. But here are I've talked about this in this show many times. I want watch this. It's a great episode. Here is a doc. This is research from 2018 saying vaccines are pushing pathogens to evolve. Read it for yourself. It's quite clear, but just in the interest of time. Oh, this one as well. Research suggests Pfizer BioNTech COVID vaccine reprograms innate immune responses. Right. So just on top of everything, we're talking about this injection reprogramming your immune response. Why would it need to reprogram your entire immune response for one thing? Maybe that's causing a problem. Maybe it's something that we didn't even research because we didn't do this properly. But here's the main point that I want to reiterate, because this is just a review of research. This is a peer-reviewed article, peer-reviewed research from 2015. Very clear. Imperfect vaccination, you think that's where we are, in just as call it imperfect injections, can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. Now, here's the main point. Vaccines that keep hosts alive but still allow transmission. Okay, nobody can disagree that that's not where we are. Or nobody should disagree. That's double negatives are tricky. This is where we are. Vaccines that keep hosts alive but still allow transmission. We all know that's where we are right now. Even the mainstream is grudgingly admitting that. They're still spreading the virus. Okay, so in this situation where vaccines that keep the hosts alive but still allow transmission, they say they could thus allow very virulent strains to circulate in a population. It's very clear. This is what's causing these problems, can enhance the transmission. That is what's happening. Then we know that we are pushing pathogens to evolve. It's obvious. And this is just two of the things that I discuss in this episode. It's very obvious that this is what they knew was happening before. Now ask yourself why that didn't influence the policy of the CDC and pushing vaccinations for what they knew was increasing the rise of variants. Gee, I wonder why that would be the case. What do you think? Maybe it's because of something like this, because they were using pandemics of fear, or people pointing out that they were misleading because they were trying to sell vaccines. Maybe that's something. Who knows? Right? Maybe that's why they chose to ignore the obvious reality that the vaccines were leading to this. And now they're screaming that you need to continue to take more of them, even though they just admitted that that's what's causing the problem. Unreal. Now I want to play this clip again real quick, just because this is really important. And it shows you the Delta variant is not what's dangerous. Now, I believe we're seeing a rise in the danger of the people who have been injected, because the Delta variant or any variant for that matter is another version of the natural virus that people are coming in contact with, and they're having antibody dependent enhancement or whatever else is happening.
Okay, guys, crucial update on this variant thing. So, Delta variant, is it different from the Indian variant? Everyone's confused. Well, actually, the Delta variant is the Indian variant. It was just rebadged. Now, this report just came out. Here's the data on the variants. And we see the purple here is the Delta or Indian variant. And we see from early April, it has absolutely dominated all the cases in the UK. So it was 10% already in mid-April. It was 50% of the cases in early May, and 75% by mid-May. And now it's pretty much nearly all of them, 90%. So if this is a problematic, dangerous variant, it would already have caused in the past month or two enormous impacts, right? Well, let's look. Here's government data, just taken. Goes right up to 17th of June. You can look it up. This is all government data. And you can see the hospitalization impact. We'll add in a green trend line. We're going to use this in a moment. And we'll superimpose it over the variant graph. So back to our variant graph, purple is the Delta or Indian variant, and it's obviously taken over the past couple of months in the UK. And we'll add in our hospitalization real-world impact of SARS-CoV-2, and here's the line. And you'll notice that as this variant took over completely over a couple of months, effectively nothing happened, the real world impact or hospitalizations. And this is clear as day. And be under no mistake, guys, this is not a projection, it's not modeling, it's not hypothesizing, it's not estimating. This is a de facto proof, an empirical proof, that the variant doesn't add up to anything much at all in terms of real world impact.
Pretty damn clear to me, right? I mean, and by the way, this is the data ends at June 17th, but it's the same point. Now, here's another interesting way to think about this, right? So if we're talking about, remember the email I just showed you from the day before yesterday's show, where the lady, I believe it was a FOIA request from, I think it was just an engagement with the CDC, where they asked point blank, like, how do you differentiate between these variants? And they made a very clear statement that the only way to do that is by culture in a lab. And very clearly, that's not happening everywhere. And all that clearly suggests is that they are not actually, it's just like the modeling and the estimations we showed you about the flu and pneumonia. They're modeling and estimating what these did. So we're told the Delta's everywhere. So these PCR tests that only give a yes or no are just being marked down Delta. At the very least, some of these cases are being marked and estimated or modeled towards what they believe is happening, because that's why this all works. So another way to look at it is that their Delta is, I mean, it's not even there, or you know, or something that, I mean, the bottom line is you can look at it as if it could be just COVID-19, right? And all we're basically saying is there's this, there's that, there's different things. And all it really shows you is that it's not dangerous. Now, some people might not like that. They want to, you know, whatever you believe in this COVID-19 illusion, the bottom line is the data that they give you does not add up, does not connect with what they're saying the reality is. I just can't even think of anything stupider than that. Trust the science, but our own data doesn't back up what we're saying. Flabbergasting. Now, here is a great video by Tim Truth. Always doing a great job. I just want to point out a quick point that he made. I believe I missed this study. If I didn't talk about this in the past, I believe I missed this. And this basically just backs up what we've already told you. This backs up the 180 days scenario we just reported. That after 180 days, Israeli data is showing you that this basically doesn't work. The vaccine is basically gone after 180 days. And this is Tim Truth doing a great job on this. I hope you watch the full video. You can just see, here's the graph. I'm going to hear, and he actually found the study for me today because I couldn't find it. Here is what he's showing you. Now I'm going to go through the article itself, just in a couple points, but please go to check out Tim's channel and make sure you give him a shout out. It says, is Israel or the UK right when it comes to COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness? An Israeli study claims the vaccine is about 40% effective, while British says 88%. Well, I don't want to take the time to go through it, but you can very clearly, if you care to do your due diligence, see the difference between the two studies and see that one is leaning into things that they think they want. And the 40% is based on the pretty obvious data that's happening in real world that they very clearly show you, yet interestingly are leaning away from. As we just pointed out, they quietly changed their reporting system to no longer show you hospitalizations and deaths in the breakdown vaxxed versus unvaxxed. Now, why would that be? But as it says, is the Pfizer vaccine 80 or 40%? Two separate studies, one published by Israel's health ministry and the other published by New England Journal of Medicine. It says the discrepancy is kind of unsettling and needs to be further investigated. Specifically, the ministry study found that Pfizer coronavirus vaccine was only, it says, about 39% effective at stopping all infection at the Delta variant. It did, however, show that vaccine remains 91% effective against developing serious illness, 88% effective hospitalization. But it says the British study, in contrast, said that the Pfizer vaccine was 88% effective against stopping symptomatic infection. None of those, by the way, are transmission, just so we're all clear about that still. That was never on the table. It doesn't do that. They've never tried to prove that. The study was authored by researchers from Public Health England and the NIH, the National Institute of Health Research, guys in St. Thomas National NIH. So we have the NIH, the NHS in Oxford, and Public Health England, all of which authored the study. I wonder if we could trust them. Right. That's my opinion, but it says the Delta variant is currently responsible for more than 90. According to Cohen, there are several possible answers to the data gap. First, the crucial is the difference in time between the exposures. It says England vaccination. This is interesting. England vaccinated at a much slower pace than Israel, meaning that the majority of the population was only fully vaccinated by mid-April 2021. Here's what the point I made before. This is in contrast to Israel, where around 90% of the country's most vulnerable population were jabbed at the end of January. Now, this is the most vulnerable, But the reality is that they have a high portion of their population vaccinated early, way before the rise of this Delta variant, and yet we're still arguing that that is affecting them. But isn't that, doesn't that challenge the narrative? Yes. If they have a supposed herd immunity, which, by the way, I don't even think is possible with these dangerous injections, but the point is that they have reached a number that was supposed to stop them from creating new variants, the unvaccinated, which, by the way, again, that was the early narrative. Now what they're quietly letting out is that that doesn't stop it. That's exactly what causes it, exactly what we were saying and being censored for, right? Recognize that. This exact situation, whether 90% or 70%, is vaccinations with some not and still circulating because the vaccine can still spread it, right? So with that, in conjunction with this, showing you that the COPES keeps the host alive but allows transmission is almost guaranteed to create the variants. And do you think they didn't know that science was there? The scientific research? Of course they did. So like I keep pointing out, they know this stuff and it's almost like they gathered it all and said, hey, this perfectly works for us. Thinking that we're too stupid to recognize it. Now it says this in contrast, yeah, 90%, it says it is beginning to become clear that that vaccine immunity begins to wane after about 6 months. Exactly, 180 days, which we just reported. The Israeli study showed that for people vaccinated more than 6 months ago, the effectiveness of the vaccine has stopped coronavirus. Why can't I read right now? The effectiveness of the vaccine at stopping coronavirus dropped to as low as 16%. So not only reported that people that live more than 180 days have twice the risk, now we're finding out that it just doesn't work. By the way, this, in my opinion, is long before Delta. This is coming out now because we're seeing full data. In any case, guys, how does any of this add up with what they're trying to scream you down about right now in the mainstream media? Here is the actual study. You can see the graph right here. Show it is an Israeli, but showing you effectiveness in regard to it's, I mean, that's just staggering to me. Staggering. But here's the mainstream in Israel reporting it to you directly. As low as 16%. And now we're talking about pushing this on children still. Right. So we just made very clear that this is still being spread. You can have as much of a viral load as people who are not. It spreads just as easily. That in fact, the variants are being created by the vaccine being used in the same way. And yet we're just going, but just inject those children, even though they've got a 0% risk. Yeah, because that totally makes sense, right? That has not gone away. There is no risk to these children. And even experts in the mainstream have said that, and they're still pushing for it. Does that not show you the alarming, nefarious agenda here? The next stage of COVID vaccine rollout, children under 12? Why? This doesn't make any sense unless they fully grasp the reality of what this now means. That if they still have a portion of the population unvaccinated, well, this is going to continue to get worse. Maybe they underestimated how worse that could get. Maybe that's why they're so desperate, because they knew that they doubled down on an agenda that if unless everybody's vaccinated, we're all in danger, right? Think about how dumb that is. But see, if we had just let everybody get infected, like normal situations, and especially knowing that most people are not at risk, and you just protected people who were elderly, like in a normal situation, this would already be over, because the kids aren't in danger. Most people aren't in danger. Under 50s aren't even in danger, according to their new data. So this wouldn't be a problem. This wouldn't be happening. I mean, it's just incredible to me. But now we're going to go get those children injected so we can protect ourselves. Those are cowards saying that. Put those children at risk of this genetically altered, manipulative thing. It's just crazy. Put them at risk. Give them something that's experimental, unapproved. And we're doing that so we can be safe. Protect the children. What about the children, right? The same people that will use them as an excuse are now using them as a barrier between them and something they're terrified of. Cowards. And there's another one. For safe return to school, children must be vaccinated. Safe for who exactly? For the teachers who are vaccinated? Does that make sense? No. But they're going to force it on him anyway. Now, here is Phil Kirpin pointing out, we have a new CDC burden estimate for COVID, updated through May. It points out some interesting things here. They have changed the age brackets. Through March, they showed 41% of age 5 to 17 had been infected and 22% of age 0 to 4. Now, through May, they combine those age groups to now show 37% age 0 to 17. Now, why is that? Now, I haven't really put my finger on exactly that, but I guarantee that's manipulative. Why would you jam in those brackets? Maybe because you're trying to hide something on 0 to 4, or maybe lower something between 5 to 17. I mean, that's how you lie with data. That's not supposed to happen. Very interesting. But then it goes on to say, through March, they had estimates a total of 26,670,181 infections at ages 0 to 4. And they basically combined those age groups. The new estimate through May is 26,838,244, only 168,000 increase in 2 months. Possible data revision? Here is an apples-to-apples comparison to pediatric flu from the same burden estimate series. This is just the symptomatic infection fatality rate for both, which is how the flu burden estimate is reported. And this wasn't exactly this is important anyway. Just looking at look at the breakdown of fatality ratio. You think you're in danger? Now, this is a pediatric, right? So just so we're clear, but that's ridiculous. That's why you say there's 0%, even on the CDC website, because statistically speaking, that is zero. But here's the main point. COVID infection fatality rates by age. This is what I was saying before. You can look up all this for yourself. Now, I don't buy all of this. I just don't, because what they're using is all the things they've already reported on, all the misrepresented deaths, all the very clear false positives, PCR tests, on and on and on, the combination of flu, influenza, and pneumonia, right? On and on and on. These are false pictures. But even knowing that they're padding the numbers and using false pictures, look at this. 0 to 17, if you can see that fully, 0.001%, like I keep telling you. 18 to 49, 0.05%. That's less than the flu. That's 0.05%. That's not 5% written as a percentage in decimal. No, that's 0.05%, right? Okay, so what we're telling people is that under 50 years, you are not at risk. 49 and below, you have a less risk than the flu. But then they go above 50 and it jumps to 0.5, then to 5%, right? And then you combine those stupidly and it goes to 0.6, which is ridiculous. Of 5% over 65. That's because people are dying in nursing homes and being tested at the last moment and being, oh, you're sick with COVID. Now we're going to count that as a COVID, even though you were already dying before this started. Or 1,000 other examples we've already shown you verifiably have happened. The point, though, is that is not how you combine those. That's not the kind of thing you do with something like this. And that shows you an illusion based on how New York in the beginning had like 70% of the deaths in all of the United States. I forget if that number is correct. They had a huge percentage of the deaths just in one location in New York. And we pretend like that evens out across the whole country. But even their manipulated data shows you that under 50, you're not at risk. And yet we're pretending that everybody, including children, should be forced to take this thing. That should make you angry. But and then last part is CDC's central estimate for pediatric COVID deaths through May 2021 is 332 out of 26 million infections. That's an infection fatality rate of 0.001%. And that's not even accurate, by the way. Now, bottom line is, this is all the way up to 17 years old. That's more than just children. And all they can do is 332 estimates of deaths. Now, you know why this is familiar to you? Because we've already shown you this. That is zero. And that is based on all 332 out of 26,838,244 infections based on PCR tests that are false positive and everything else. That is based on guesses. As even the Wall Street Journal pointed out, the flimsy evidence behind the CDC's push to vaccinate children. A tremendous number of government and private policies affecting kids are based on one number. This says 335. Same point, 332. It says that is how many children under 18 died with a COVID diagnosis code in their record, according to the CDC. However, the CDC, which has 21,000 employees, hasn't researched each death to find out whether COVID caused it or not. Exactly what we keep telling you, because they're not investigating all the VAERS reports. That's plainly clear. Even the Wall Street Journal can point that out. So they're telling you 335 kids died and they didn't investigate any of them to find out whether they actually died from COVID. That's what the Wall Street Journal is telling you. That's incredible. As this doctor's telling you, he can think of no journal editor, BMJ, Lancet, anywhere, who would accept the claim that 335 deaths resulted from a virus without due data to indicate if the virus actually caused it. Right? That's incredible. But this there's the data for you right there. I hope you will take the time to look at it. The link is right there for you. And they're pushing it on kids anyway. How do you explain that? That either means the people pushing it are brainwashed and don't realize what they're doing is wrong, or they're knowingly spreading some kind of an agenda, because it's not safe or accurate or for anybody under 50 at this point in my mind. By the way, anybody, as far as I'm concerned, but just based on their data. But nonetheless, here we are. COVID jabs delivered inside of a circus marquee at the vaccine festival. Sorry for the grayed out. I'm not going to accept MSN, whatever. But this is not a joke. COVID-19 jabs have been administered inside a circus marquee at a vaccine festival this weekend as part of the latest efforts to boost uptake in England. Look, guys, it's not a joke. This is literally at a circus. They're behind a tent out in the open on a field. This is so incredibly wrong in so many ways. I've shown you this. It says still on the FDA documentation that this is not allowed. I guarantee you they don't have all the appropriate medical equipment there on the field ready to go. You think they have all kinds of scans necessary to find out whether you're having blood clots or anything else that happen immediately in a lot of cases, whether AstraZeneca or anything else, which is happening in England? Of course not. The best they have is probably an EpiPen sitting there on the table, which, by the way, remember, they're not supposed to give them to people with proven allergies, as the FDA document states, but they do anyway, because they're allowed to not follow the rules, but apparently we aren't, even though we kind of are following the rules. They just don't like what we're saying. This is incredible to me. This is why they're giving it in Waffle Houses and Krispy Kremes and bars, as if that makes any sense. Yeah, here you're drunk. Here you're out at a ball game drinking beer and having hot dogs. Let's jam this new experimental injection in your arm and pretend like that makes sense. With alcohol. I mean, good God. This is Piers Morgan. You know, that guy who was screaming about how dumb we were all for not getting injected and risking everyone's lives and how you're a bad person. Well, guess who just got sick, even though he was fully vaccinated? And I'm not reveling in the fact that he got sick. I'm not reveling at all, in fact. I'm just pointing out the fact that people like this who are screaming that we were the dumb ones seem to be the ones out there getting sick right now. Day 18 since COVID symptoms started and still have shocking fatigue and little smell taste. Anyone else who got virus after being fully vaccinated? Yep. A lot of them, and you damn well know that. But guess what? You're not reporting that, Piers Morgan, because you guys are part of the problem. Here's Don Lemon, you know, that aspiring entertainment news guy who was forced to being a news guy who didn't want to be and is now pretending to be. CNN's Don Lemon says those who don't get vaccinated should no longer be allowed to participate in society. That's where we are now. Here's what he has to say. This is crazy. This guy is ridiculous. Both of them, in fact. At the very least, Cuomo's like trying to be, at least appear to be objective. Lemon is out there freaking out about how, you know, because that's what he was told to do, I'm sure, about how people unvaccinated are just remember the information we just showed you. The fact that people are spreading it, the same viral load, on and on and on. So Don either doesn't care about the information or doesn't know. I'm leaning towards doesn't have a clue.
Truth. You have to have leaders.
The data will help.
Be more. Yeah, of course. I said that is true. But also, in addition to, you've got to have people start speaking the truth. You can't have them speaking out of both sides of their mouth saying, yeah, well, I trust the science and I'm doing this. I heard you had Jerome Adams on and he's saying, talking about some right wing conservative propaganda hosts who are saying, oh, yeah, no one really said get vaccine. They said, I believe in the science and it's up to you to get it. We can't
listen to what he just said, by the way. Obviously, this guy is just screaming left-right paradigm, but he just said that this guy says, we're not telling this. We're telling him to trust the science, right? He's pointing to a talk show host that was not telling people to get it or to not get it. He was saying you should research it for yourself and trust the science. Like, this is what he's talking about. But to him, that's a conservative, right-wing, extremist propaganda outlet, because this guy is this guy is overt propaganda. Like, this guy is like straight out of 1984. Anybody on the side of something, oh, that's extremist right-wing propaganda. It's so dumb. So saying that somebody should make their own mind up is extreme right-wing propaganda, according to this moron, it is. I'm sorry. I just can't stand how ridiculous these people are. And these are some of the most unintelligent people that I've come. I swear, you guys are far more intelligent than Don Lemon here. And a lot of them. It just pains me how clearly half the time you could tell they don't even know what they're talking about.
science and I'm doing this. I heard you had Jerome Adams on and he's saying, talking about some right-wing conservative propaganda hosts who are saying, oh yeah, no one really said get vaccine. They said, I believe in the science and it's up to you to get it. We can't have mealy-mouthed people like that.
Oh, how dare we say it's your choice, right? Screw that kind of freedom talk. We don't do that liberty kind of stuff around here, which except he tries to do that in the end, right? Oh, we care about freedom and liberty, but you can't have a choice because I'm on the news, right? It's just crazy to me. He's saying the fact that you have a choice to think for yourself and make the choice for yourself. We can't have that kind of mealy-mouthed, wishy-washy stuff, all that liberty talk.
You have to be more direct. A more concerted effort to say get vaccinated because you're not just killing yourself, you're going to kill other people.
Right, of course, because that's what the data shows? No. Right now, we're watching the opposite, but he'll keep parroting the narrative because that's what mockingbirds do.
That's what you have to start telling people. You got to start telling people if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come to work. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this gym. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this, get onto this airplane.
And what they're doing in general with his whole conservative spin on this, despite the fact that I've shown you 1,000 times over that this is very clearly a partisan thing. Nonpartisan, I should say. It's not, left-right doesn't play into this. I've talked to people on all sides of the political fake news scenario, and they clearly do not see or clearly see that this is a problem on all sides of this, both on the left-right paradigm and people in reality. We all see all across the board this is dangerous. That's why 50% of the country is still saying no, right? Because they see it, and that's not just left or just right. You don't, I mean, it's the absurd idea that that's all the Republicans and that's why it's 50%. This country is not split down the middle, 50 Republican, 50 Democrat. That's how they want you to think about it. The majority of the country is in the middle somewhere where they don't really like either side and they vote for people. That's the truth. But they want you to think it's only those dangerous Republicans over there spitting extremism, and that's why they're going to try to cross this over, and they already have with white supremacy and racism and everything else they're trying to do. That's going to all blend in with the domestic terrorism thing we've already talked about. I'm not going to get off track on that. That's what this is all really about.
It has nothing to do with freedom. It has nothing to do with liberty.
I got to play those two things together. That is the dumbest thing ever. So you can't do this without this medical intervention that's experimental and approved. You can't do this or that. And you should tell them they can't access planes or this. They shouldn't be able to do it. This isn't about freedom. What a stupid thing to say. So we're taking your freedom away. But it's not about freedom, though.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this, get onto this airplane. It has nothing to do with freedom. It has nothing to do with liberty. You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
Well, yeah, you do, Don. And that's because you don't fundamentally understand what freedom means. But he does kind of circle back to this point at the end. But you, of course you do. As he says at the end, you'll see there's consequences. That's the point, right? You always have the choice and there's consequences. Now, they would go, yeah, you're going to die because of it. Fine. Then let me make my choice. There's consequences. Freedom comes with a choice. That's the point. And this is why you're either being willfully ignorant to sell a narrative or you don't understand liberty and freedom. It is your choice. You can choose to go out there and do something bad and dangerous, and you can choose to, you know, accept or run from the consequences. It's always a choice. That's what freedom means. But in a world where we have rules, if you want to look at it that way, well, if you want to exist in that scenario, then you have to possibly run against having the consequences of breaking those rules. But the point that I'm getting at is whether you even disagree with the fact that there should be rules is that if you are here, which we are, that it's your choice. Now, at the end of the day, they don't have the right to come around and say, well, we're going to then create those consequences for you and say, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do that. That's not a choice, right? It's about the choice to have it or not and exist in the same scenario. Not that they go, well, if you don't get this thing we're forcing on everybody, you can't drive your car, go to the store, get in a plane. That is called coercion. That is called societal and financial consequence, or not consequence, what the term I used in the past. Coercion, I believe. Coercion. And it's the same thing we keep pointing out in regard to the UNESCO international document that shows you that the UN has agreed, which the US is a part, that you cannot create disadvantage or prejudice because that creates a violation of international law. Okay, so coming full circle, you can see that they are breaking, if they do that, they're breaking the law anyway. But the point is that we are It's our choice to say yes or no to take this injection. And they don't get to create disadvantage or prejudice on the other side of it to coerce you into taking it, because then it wouldn't be a choice. You see how that works? But they will continue to pretend that as long as they make it a choice, that it's your fault and they can create those consequences. This is an illusion. This is how they play this game constantly. And this is how he tries to kind of waffle about it. And he's really clumsy in the way he talks about it. And you'll see.
You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
So remember, he says you don't have the freedom to do that. And then he later says that you could do it, but now there's consequences. So he literally contradicts his own ridiculous logic in this one segment.
You don't have that. You have to drive the speed limit. You have to obey the rules.
Do we have to do those things? I mean, like, this is alarming in its own right. Don Lemon's a rule follower, apparently, like just completely like, don't jaywalk there. Don't cross the street. Don't any number of 1,000 things that I'm sure he does all the time. But you see, it only applies to the rules he's thinking of. That's how mainstream media operates.
Put some rules in place that will demand that people get vaccinated. Right. You can't just go around and say, well, look, it's my personal life, freedom and my liberty. I want to go 150 miles an hour if I want to. Sure, you can. But you have to suffer the consequences.
Okay, so wait, can you not do it? Or can you? And there's consequences, right? You literally just said to, you get the point. This is stupid. He could have, if he was intelligent, in my opinion, he could have walked into that in a really smart way and made it look like you're arguing that there's always, look, like the argument I just made without explaining the coercion and the prejudice and disadvantage part of it. You could make the argument to make it sound like it's just like any other situation, right? But he was stupidly clumsy about it. And he said, you can't do that. You can't do this. But sure you can. It's like he's arguing with himself, right? But here we go.
For it. Either whether you kill yourself or you get a citation and your driver's license gets taken away. You have to have certain rules in a society if we all are going to continue to live and keep each other alive. You can't
keep each other alive. Is that what society is about? Living and keeping each other alive? Well, that's where they are now, eking by for another 30 seconds of life while living in your bubble with your gloves and your mask on, right? That's not life. Life is about living, right? Outside, enjoying, love, compassion, engagement, right? It's about actually connecting with people. But in his mind, it's about just living and keeping us alive longer. That's really how these people think. It's a fear-based society based on the propaganda that they're spreading and keeping people in a constant state of concern for their lives. That's not living, guys.
Not be that selfish and, quite frankly, that ignorant.
Yeah.
Right, so we're selfish and ignorant for not taking something, right? So again, just to kind of piece through this here. There we go. Okay, I don't know why this is out of focus. So we're selfish and ignorant for not taking something that we just went over shows you that you can have the same viral load, that you can infect other people, you can catch it from other people. In fact, as much as people who don't have the injection. Okay, so you're stupid and ignorant for not taking something that you can still catch even though I have it, or not taking something that won't stop me from catching it from you, or taking something that doesn't stop me from spreading the same amount, and as well as something that actually increases the risk of variants. Like, this is not even difficult to explain. Their information is showing you what he's saying is dumb. He's pointing to a narrative and talking points from the beginning of this whole thing and just acting like that still makes sense. We're dumb and ignorant and selfish for not taking an experimental unapproved injection that's showing to have a lot of side effects and that they're hiding from everybody. And we just found 100,000 breakthrough cases they tried to quietly keep from you. But we're the crazy, ignorant, selfish ones, right? It's stupid.
In terms of the politics, has to flip from this tyranny of the minority, the unvaccinated, vaccinated,
yeah,
to the vaccinated, because the vaccinated is
that selfish.
And there it is, something that I've been telling you was going to happen, and I'll show you why.
Quite frankly, that ignorant.
Yeah, I think the dynamic in terms of the politics has to flip from this tyranny of the minority, the unvaccinated, vaccinated,
yeah,
to the vaccinated.
Okay, so this tyranny of the minority. Okay. So this tyranny of the unvaccinated. So suddenly he's saying that we're the minority. Gee, I wonder why that would be. Oh, that's right. Because it barely tipped over the majority for them. Right? You knew this was coming. I told you this was going to happen. So let me just play it again. 50.1%. And by the way, again, like I said, even when it was on our side, I don't even like saying it like that. I said, I don't know why we would trust this. I always knew this would roll over this, whether it was even the truth. But on either side of it, I was always skeptical whether it was accurate. But now that we have rolled over to saying that the majority of the country is vaccinated by 0.1%, so 49.9% are unvaccinated, listen to what he says again.
Vaccinated.
If we are that selfish and, quite frankly, that ignorant.
Yeah, I think the dynamic in terms of the politics has to flip from this tyranny of the minority, the unvaccinated, vaccinated, yeah, to the vaccinated.
Tyranny of the minority. Okay, like it's been ongoing forever and we're living under this tyranny of the minority. He knows, as well as both as everybody else, that they have been waiting desperately. Yes, we're over 50%. This tyranny of the minority that's been keeping us in check, right? One day into it, they already are talking about a tyranny of the minority. How stupid is that? As if it's been they're going to go forward acting like they've been the majority the whole time. That's the next part. Mark my words. Now, remember when I said mark my words before that this would be the case? I just want to play it again for you just so we can see that I was accurate. Please tell me you didn't lose the spot on Super U. Come on. Come on. Get there. Come on. Nice.
Here we are again. I just want to show you this.
Okay, so this is from 5 days ago. 5 days ago. And I just listen to it and I'll talk about it.
I'm not buying this. I know what this is going to go over 50%. Now, even if it is accurate, even if it's honest, mark my words, when this does roll over 50%, despite them continuing to ignore that number now, because it shows you that they're not the majority, the moment this rolls over 50%, it's going to be like a celebration. Maybe not a celebration, but at the bottom line, I mean, I do think that's what happened, but bottom line, it's going to be discussed after that. Then it's going to be, okay, now the minority of this country continuing to hurt the majority, like that, it's going to become a talking point. Just like we're using it now, because it matters. That's why they're not talking about it now, because it matters.
Exactly. You know, it's incredible to be able to predict with such precision exactly what these clowns will do. I mean, it's almost comical to me. Just for effect, one more time.
It's the majority of America
cannot be that selfish and, quite frankly, that ignorant.
Yeah, I think the dynamic in terms of the politics has to flip from this tyranny of the minority, the unvaccinated, to the vaccinated. Because the vaccinated is the majority of Americans, Republicans, Democrats, independent, right, left and reasonable, red and blue states.
Wasn't that interesting? So even he's willing to say that it's a fit. So think about this. That's actually really hilarious to me. Let me make sure this is very clear. One, obviously I was exactly spot on with exactly what they would do less than 24 hours after it rolls over. This tyranny of the unvaccinated is just so stupid. But what else did he just say right there? See, they're letting things slip by thinking they're bolstering their narrative. He just told you that the 50.1%, of course, is all over the place. It's left, it's right, it's middle, it's all over. Okay, so let's be smart about this. What does that then imply on the other side? Well, that it's all over, that it's left, that it's right, that it's middle, that it's everybody, because it can't be one and not the other. Because if you don't, it's not 50% is all Republicans, but other 50% is a mix of everybody. These people, I swear to God, I don't know if they're that stupid, if they can't understand even what the narrative is they're trying to sell. He just admitted to you that it's not only conservatives not getting vaccinated. He just admitted to you that it's a completely nonpartisan point, and that half this country, whether 49.9 or 50.1, is still saying no. That's incredible. And it's not a conservative or Democrat. It is a real situation where Americans see through the BS. That's what I keep telling you guys. You are the majority. Don't forget that. It's you. And regardless of whether right now they're telling you 49.9% of people are unvaccinated. I've been saying that since before COVID-19. You are the real majority. The real majority that gets misrepresented by the mainstream media as the fringe crazy weirdos. And this whole vaccination scenario is what's showing you that. Right? If 49.9% of this country is unvaccinated, then that's the point. Half this country is still on your side, and it's left and right. Let me see if it went up 0.1 by the time we refreshed. Nope. Now let's see if it keeps going up. I don't buy it. I said that before, but let's go forward. Here we are with the Washington Post, even admitting something that we keep telling you. Vaccinated people made up 3/4 of those infected in a massive Massachusetts outbreak. Yep. Not surprising. right? This is important information that clearly shows you that these things don't work. In fact, the study itself actually shows you that this is like basically 0%. And in regard to where we currently are, just like the Israeli data is showing you, it is not working. And the Washington Post is reporting that, showing you that vaccinated people made up a 3/4 of the people who were infected at this recent outbreak. Now, here's what people like this Ben guy are flipping out about. Vaccinated people do not transmit the virus at the same rate as unvaccinated people. And if you fail to include that context, you're doing it wrong. Of course, somebody who's in politics can't, hard to tell, right? So now you see, now the point is that now you've literally got even politicians. Like, think about when the social or when that, like Paskey, for instance, or whatever her name is. Somebody gave me a hard time about saying Paskey, like that means something. I like saying her name wrong. But the point is, saying that, you know, telling the media, you should report it this way. That's what people care about. Thanks, Jen, for telling media what to report on. I know that's how it happens anyway. Here's yet another example of the politician telling the media how to report. It's not how it's supposed to go, right? You're not even supposed to make it look that way. And it's funny telling you that. But you see, what he can't stand is that all the data is showing the opposite. If 88 people who are vaccinated can all catch it from one person who's vaccinated, for another person who caught it from another person who's vaccinated, that came from Israel, or we can have 3/4 of the people getting sick in this situation being all vaccinated, and Israel's data can show you that they can spread and catch and on and on and on, that is what's happening. And by the way, even if you don't agree with it, we need the data to back that up. But Ben doesn't like that. See, he wants them to make the context that's not there. This data shows you what he thinks isn't happening. It's all there for you to look at. But they're just trying to guide the narrative in the direction they want it to go, as if this somehow shows that the vaccine's working, which is just crazy. They actually are arguing that. Well, look, the more cases means that it's actually working. Well, Ben, here's Fauci, your God in the vaccine God over here, telling you amounts of vaccine in breakthrough cases is almost identical to unvaccinated. Okay, so clearly, just to be clear, that's talking about breakthrough. Not that everybody vaccinated has that, but you see, what the data shows us is that this is being caused in everybody who's getting this to some degree. That's because the spike protein, the mRNA, the nanoparticles, on top of the fact that it's not stopping their engagement with the natural virus that creates antibody-dependent enhancement. They have every possible way and avenue to increase their illness and problematic, or and their problem, excuse me. And if they've had the same amount, and they're all able to catch it, why are we even arguing? If they can catch it and they can have the same amount, it's as if it's not even there. Except what it is doing is creating the circumstances to drive the variants. CDC shows 74% of people infected at this Massachusetts COVID outbreak were fully vaccinated. Fully. Here's an interesting dynamic, though. And this is something that a lot of you out there might like. And it's interesting as a kind of a sidestep, but it's also really stupid when you realize that the government is plenty of workplaces, even Amazon's out there. People like that are actively sidestepping even the religious exemption, saying that, oh, well, you can claim it, but you'll go like the schools. That was what it was. These schools are saying for the colleges, well, you can claim a religious exemption, but you have to go through a panel. Well, it's not your choice to decide whether my religious exemption applies. It's my religion, right? Like, that's incredible. But that's actually happening. They're going to decide for you whether or not you're validly, you know, this is because they're basically calling you lying until they can prove you're not. But here we are with the Telegraph saying, guess what, guys? Vegans, which I'm not even trying to undermine vegans because that's basically how I'm basically vegan, will be exempt from compulsory COVID-19 vaccines in the workplace. Isn't that great? Why? Well, it comes after a tribunal last year ruled that ethical veganism is to be protected. It's a belief, protected belief, which I think is stupid. Not that veganism is not probably the smartest thing you can do. That's my opinion. But the fact that it's a protected belief? Come on. I mean, for crying out loud, this is the problem. Is this is the government creating more rules to justify its invasion of your life. Nobody should be able to stop and tell you what you can and can't do in any of these circumstances, right? Like, I can say no to that injection. I can choose to eat meat or not. And the reality is that you can't tell me I'm only allowed to do this if you rule that my veganism is some kind of a special situation. I can choose to do what I want with my own body. None of this matters if you have that right, which you do, by the way. But the government takes away that right and then creates 1,000 rules around it to make it seem like they're giving you freedom. They don't get to give you freedom. It's already there. Everything they do like this takes away your freedom, your inherent freedom, God-given. The Constitution didn't give you rights. It outlined what God-given rights. But this is what the actual discussion is, and this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, that's the other. This is, oh, just so you can see, here's the actual article. Compulsory workplace vaccination rules cannot apply to vegans. Oh, we're going to force you, you other conspiracy theorists out there, all you religious ones and all of you, you know, personal objections, none of that. Screw that. But if you don't eat meat, then, oh, we got to, you know, respect that. That's just funny. But vegans would be exempt from compulsory workplace COVID vaccinations, and employers risk legal action if they insist workers are double jabbed. Why? The COVID vaccine does not contain animal products, but it all medications go through animal testing, I guess, except the COVID one until after the fact, which is kind of ridiculously funny. But so you're telling me that because these things get tested on animals and then a different product is given, that is enough for a vegan to say, no, I can't take this. How is that an acceptable sidestep for this? But somebody who's like literally like, I don't want dead baby fetuses is going in my family. No, that doesn't apply. But if I have an issue with animals being tested in general, I mean, good God. Again, I'm not even trying to downplay that logic that animal testing is wrong or that vegans aren't important. I agree with that stuff. I think it's crazy that that is more of a valid argument than your religion. Than the fact that you have a personal issue with this, that you have a right to say no in general. But because you don't eat meat, well, of course, then we'll let you not take it. But how does that apply to the entire situation? You know how many vegans are in this country? A lot. On top of that, what's going to stop people from saying, well, now I'm vegan. I just turned vegan today. Are you going to have to prove that? Are you going to have a vegan card? You see how ridiculous this gets? But this is where we are right now. And this is why it's getting so foggy, because even the unions are pushing back against Biden. The postal office union, a lot of them are standing up and going, well, screw your mandate, because we're not crazy. You see, the point is they want you to think the majority's on board, but it's not. Ethical veganism was ruled to be protected characteristic at a tribunal last year. Even if I was completely 100% vegan, it was my entire lifestyle, I would still think that's ridiculous. It means any employers would risk legal action if they order staff to be vaccinated. Right. But think about how dumb it is, how crazy it is. They won't risk legal action for forcing a child to be injected or forcing an adult against their will, or they'll lose their job. But they could get sued if they stop a vegan or force a vegan to do it. Our world is broken, and this is really crazy. And here we see this in real world action where this is already happening, guys. Oh, by the way, for those out there that are considering, you know, trying to set themselves up to fight this, you got that religious guy who was giving out, you know, religious exemptions, become vegan. Get a lawyer. I mean, it seems like a valid argument if a real tribunal, which it did, ruled that that's a protected class. But it says it happened. I was thrown out of a skate store in Berlin yesterday with my 9-year-old son who wanted a skateboard for his birthday because the owner, I like this view better, asked him if he was vaccinated. I replied that was none of his business. Didn't even say no, but because she refused to tell him, kicked them out of the store. You can read the whole story for yourself, but this is real. This is happening everywhere. And this is why the store owners are enforcing it for them. Even while we see an incredible increase in the VAERS information. I just want to include this for you to look for yourself, right? So you can see the full picture. Over 10,000 deaths reported, right? The Defender is doing a great job keeping up on this, but this is outrageous that this is continuing. The amount of reports, hundreds of thousands, and they're all just being dismissed, and they're not even researching and investigating them as we just showed you. If they're not investigating whether these children were killed by this, right? Or specifically in regard to COVID, but it's the same point, right? They're not investigating this stuff. On the vaccine side, COVID side, any of it, they're just taking face value what they want to report. But if they're not, they're not. And they've already shown you this. There's been multiple people that have been interviewed. And they're like, my son died. No one's even contacted me. Here we are. And yet they're screaming, it's all fake news. Well, here is a clip. I want to make a point about this too, but then we have to, you know, couple more points to wrap up. Somebody sent me this video, and of course it came from this random account. And the title I saw, and I scoffed at it. Personally, I keep seeing these claims, you know, people will die within this amount of time. And I'm like, okay, how could you possibly know that? Even a doctor. Estimate, maybe, but to say that they will do this, it's kind of like, okay, I still circle back, which shows you that even the stuff I'm like, well, I still look at it because that's what I do. But what bothered me about this is the fact that this is a really important point this Dr. Hoff is making, but this title is wrong. He doesn't say this at all. In fact, What bothers me is that this is the kind of problem that's hurting what we're doing, because somebody will read this title and not look at it, or think that's what he said, or even watch it and think that that's what he's getting at and dismiss it, because it's easy to dismiss something you think is hyperbolic. And that is, because that's not what he says. What he does say, in fact, is that his research, which is preliminary, which means he doesn't, and he says clearly more than once, that means I don't know for sure this is the outcome, but based on my research, what I believe this shows you, that's an important point, not to say that it does this. But then he goes on to say that it's a percentage of what he's seeing that then leads to a problem that he believes kills people within three years. So it's maybe, and it's a portion of what he's talking about, not all vaccinated. It's a portion of what he researched, which were all vaccinated. So not even all in his group. Now, sure, if you say everyone died from this in 3 years, well, that's going to get a lot more shares, isn't it? But you see, this clearly undermines Dr. Hoff's point. This is why a lot of these doctors are having trouble putting this out there, because people will misrepresent them for clicks and shares and whatever else. Or maybe because I'm not saying that's what guys doing this, but maybe because they want to undermine the point. Maybe they want people to look at it and go, oh, that's dumb, without actually looking at it. All of this is happening in some regard. I don't know what this is. Maybe it's just an accident. But let's take a listen to what it actually says, because it's important. And this was...
spoke to a potential mechanism of action of the injury. And you mentioned to me the use of a D-dimer test, which we all know what it's for, but we're going to have to explain a little bit. Could you please speak to this a little bit and give the relevant context and introduction, please? Because I think this is really groundbreaking and important.
Now, I'm going to skip past the explanation for the most part of what D-dimers are. Please watch the full video. Bottom line is the test, in you'll see how he explains it. It's the point is he's testing for blood clots or hints at blood clots, right? And that's what he's talking about. So I'm going to jump to 4 minutes and I want you to listen to what he actually says here.
Interpret as a damaged vessel. It's no longer smooth, it's rough. So clotting is inevitable, because the platelets that come down that vessel are going to hit a rough spot and assume this must be a damaged vessel. This vessel needs to be blocked to stop the bleeding. That's how our clotting works. So clots are because of this, and because of the nature of this, clots are inevitable because of these spike proteins in the capillary networks. So I set out to then try and prove this. Could this theory be correct? And so the problem is these little clots in the capillary networks are microscopic and they are scattered. So they're not going to show on any scan. They're just too small and too scattered. It's not like the big clots that cause strokes or heart attacks. They're too small and they're too scattered. So how on earth can we know if the person clotted? And the only way is with a blood test called a D-dimer. So the D-dimer is a blood test that will show up a recent clot. It won't show up an old clot. It shows up a new clot. And it doesn't tell you where the clot is. It just tells you that the clotting mechanism has been activated. So I have now been recruiting patients from my practice, people that have come into my office and others that have heard me speak about this, and have asked people to do this D-dimer within 1 week of their COVID shot. And so far, and this study is ongoing, these are preliminary results. So
that's important, right? It's preliminary. Right. So this is obviously educated information. He's done the research, but he himself will point out that this is preliminary. You cannot, based on that alone, you can't jump to he's saying this is going to happen to all vaccinated people, which is what the title says. Just can't, because that's not true. Right. This is what I keep saying. Why we need to be better. Doesn't mean we can't make mistakes. People make mistakes, but that is, who knows? That could be, maybe that's how they interpreted this. But at the end of the day, that hurts the truth.
So far, I've got 62% positive elevated D-dimer, which means that the blood clots are not rare. That's what the so-called experts keep telling us.
Now, again, the point is that that's huge. That is huge. Why would you need to misrepresent that? You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge statement that potentially 70% or 65%+ of people that he's tested are showing indications of blood clots. That is the biggest story in and of itself. But then you just make it all, it suddenly challenges the truth and people disregard it, right? It's really important. That's a big story. In fact, I'd love to speak to Charles Hoff.
clots are rare. The big ones are rare, but the small ones are clearly happening in the majority of people, 62%. Now, I'll tell you what the real concern with this is that a clotted vessel is permanently damaged. That vessel never, ever goes back to normal. So if this theory is correct, which it really looks like by these D-dimer results, and I'm told it has been done in Australia and it's been done in the UK, and they also found elevated D-dimers.
Obviously a big deal, right? But even still, he's saying if this is correct, right? It's important. But if it's happening in multiple locations, over 62%, I mean, this is exactly what Dr. Bakke was talking about, exactly what Dr. Yeadon was talking about, exactly what I myself have been talking about for this entire since the moment I researched the spike protein and found out that all the research is saying that it causes problems. In fact, disease itself, which means it can spread. Very clear. Excuse me, Dr. Charles Hoff, I should have said a moment ago, Dr. Charles Hoff. It's just, this is a big deal.
And they sort of discarded the information because they said there's no clinical evidence of clots. Well, the clinical the reason is because they're microscopic and they're scattered. And so you're not going to see clinical evidence.
Exactly what Dr. Bakke and the rest of them said as well, right? They're looking for something they know they won't find in that moment. And that is almost an intentional that's intentional dishonesty.
But in fact, all of the frequent side effects of the shot, which are headache, nausea, dizziness, fatigue, could all be signs of cerebral thrombosis on a capillary level. I mean, those literally, you could be having thousands and thousands of tiny, tiny little clots in your brain that won't show on a scan, but they will give you those exact symptoms. So the concern is, I have now got six people in my medical practice that cannot exert themselves the way they used to be, what medically we call reduced effort tolerance. Six people who now get out of breath doing things that they could previously do without any problem. So I believe that these people blocked up thousands and thousands of capillaries in their lungs, in these six people. So I believe these people now have permanently damaged lungs because they have got, I mean, and that's why they get out of breath. I have one fellow that used to walk 2 miles to my office every week for a shot for his arthritis. And he says after a quarter of a mile, he is done. In other words, his effort tolerance is reduced to 1/8 of what it used to be. And so I've sent some of these people for chest x-rays and CT scans to see what it shows. And all it shows is distorted architecture. What the radiologists describe as increased reticulation. It's a very non-specific thing, and it's because it's microscopic. But the concern is because these vessels are now permanently damaged in a person's lungs. When the heart tries to pump blood through all those damaged vessels, there's increased resistance trying to pump the blood through those lungs. So those people are going to develop something called pulmonary artery hypertension, high blood pressure in their lungs. And the concern with that is that those people will probably all develop right-sided heart failure within 3 years and die because they now have increased vascular resistance through their lungs. And lung tissue and heart tissue and brain and spinal tissue and all of that does not regenerate. In other tissues, it can regenerate liver and kidneys and muscle and other, but there are some tissues that cannot. And so this absolutely explains what I've seen in my patients, and that's what I'm doing to prove it, and my study is ongoing.
Pretty telling, isn't it? It's pretty interesting. I think that he is laying out information that is clearly backed up by the data and backed up by what we've been showing this entire time. I mean, I should add the final point there. His argument is that this leading to the lungs specifically is what's going to cause a situation where people in that situation will die likely within 3 years based on his knowledge about what that does. Now, that does not translate to everybody vaccinated will die in 3 years. I mean, you can all see that, but it's still very important information. So that's why that stuff needs to be shown in the right way so it doesn't get tossed aside. Now, somebody's mentioning Graham Elwood in the chat. I talked about this the other day in regard to how they're demanding vaccinations, vaccine passes or proof of test for people to come in the shows. just frustrates me. I wanted to point out something somebody recently mentioned to me too, is you think about this. Why is it that somebody like that can have Whitney Webb on the show religiously talking about all the stuff she's called? Oh, she's such a great journalist, because she is, by the way. And then suddenly ignore all of her work on COVID-19 and all of her work about the technocracy and the injections and all the dangerous stuff we're talking about. Isn't that weird? Why is she a great journalist, or does it just no longer matter when COVID-19 starts? It's amazing how people can choose to ignore things when it doesn't suit their interests or whatever it is. I'm not necessarily saying that about him. I'm just saying it's crazy that this is happening today. People that are going, look at the government and what they're doing overseas, but we trust them completely about this thing that they didn't test properly. And all the data shows it's experimental and unapproved. And it just blows my mind. But going forward, a couple last points here. I just want us to see that they are driving back into the lockdowns, guys. That's coming our way. We know that's coming because it's what the green pass and the climate lockdowns, or whether it's going to be another COVID kind of scenario, but this is the future. They've already let you know this is their next step. The lockdown, the mask, it comes back in when they need it, right? But here's the mainstream media. By the way, try and find this anywhere. I bet you this was a quick little thing they put out there. It was subliminal. I don't know. Parents need to keep distance from their children. Coronavirus update. Stay away from your children. That's disgusting to me. Just in general, parents need to keep distance from their children. Are you serious? You mean the children who aren't at risk, who can't spread this based on all the research about asymptomatic spread that doesn't exist in regard to COVID-19? Yes, I've shown you all this. This is crazy. This is absurd, and it's alarming, and it's wrong. They're trying to separate the children from their parents, and I don't even really understand why it's so obvious with the injection and everything else. But here's Fauci telling you, I don't think we're going back to lockdown. So I'm pretty sure we can all assume lockdowns are coming back, right? That's how this usually works. They say, no, that's never going to happen. And then 2 days later, it's, well, fail, danger, virus back, and we're doing it again. When he says, I don't think we're going back, that means it's a possibility, which means they're already thinking about it possible for the going. Same with the masks. How he said, no, masks aren't coming back. And then weeks later, masks are coming back because it makes sense. Mark my words, it's coming back. We can already see him talking about it, but we have massive protests in Nice today. And this, I believe this was yesterday, actually, against Macron's government domestic vaccine passport. Of course, the media won't show you these massive protests, you know, spanning all up and down this major street, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people walking. I mean, they'll never show you that because this is the majority that they don't want you to see. It's all over the place. And finally, just to wrap up with an interesting point that shows you how broken YouTube and everybody else is, they just censored Sky News because the mainstream media said something they didn't like and they censored it. But wait a minute, the algorithms are broken. They broke themselves trying to censor truth. Now, when somebody accidentally leans into the wrong kind of truth, well, suddenly they're censored. Oops, wait, not mainstream media. Oh my gosh, we're broken. Happening to Twitter, happening to YouTube. Corbett pointed it out. It's funny to me. Absolutely funny that this continues. It's actually quite embarrassing for them, don't you think, that they continue to expose how ridiculously wrong they are? Basically. And I'm going to leave you with one little inside point just for fun that I wanted you guys to see. I meant to do this the other day, but there was other problems. But we're getting close. We're getting close to everything building out in this room, by the way. The light's not set up, and of course, everything's not here, but we're building out this room. We have more cameras being set up. We're getting the actual table set up. We're going to get multiple interviews going on. Derek Bros is going to be coming. I guess I should look at the right camera. Derek Bros is going to be coming to this location in October, and we're going to be doing an interview one-on-one in this room, so it'll be set up by then. So as we get closer and new things come, prepare for change, because we are changing the narrative, guys. They see it, they feel it, they're afraid, and that's why they're coming after even their own people. I mean, it's a lot of people don't want to realize how much this shows us what's going on, right? People don't want to believe that they're afraid or they're scared. Like, I'm not saying that they're afraid of us individually, but you have to understand, they are concerned about what we're doing with the narrative. The narrative is spreading and things aren't in their control and they are concerned about it. And that's why they're attacking people like me. If they didn't care what we were saying, they wouldn't come after people like us. They wouldn't try to undermine our resources and technocratically attack us from every technological point that arrives. I mean, that wouldn't happen. We are making a difference. You are making a difference. And do not forget that for a second. You are still the majority, vaccine or not. It's time to make that known. Step up, make your voice known, get out there and make a difference, because it's time to put your feet down, plant them, do not let up. I know there's a lot on the line, guys. I know a lot's changing, but there's never been a more important time to fight for everything. Period. To give you that point from Corbett again. There's going to come a time if we don't stand up now that we will look back 20 years from now and go, man, we could have done something right then. We could have. We had an opportunity right then to change something and we were unsure. Should we do it now? Should we wait? Should we go out? I don't know. Maybe we know, but maybe we'll be the only ones. And you'll go, I wish we would have done something then. I wish we'd have gone out and done something then. I wish we'd have taken action then. Now is the time. And as so many of you know, despite people out there trying to misrepresent, I go out every single day and do things in the real world. I just don't represent that on the show. This is my show. As all of you know, some of you that actually see me on a regular basis know that we go out and do these things in our local areas every single day if I have the opportunity, every single day. And yes, and then I go out and speak at rallies if that's an opportunity, like I'm going to soon or like I'm going to do very quickly here before I do that one, and on and on and on. You know, for those out there trying to pretend like what we're doing is not enough because they're not getting the attention they deserve, I guess, whatever it is. The bottom line is, you need to go out there and take action for yourself. All of us. Like I've been saying from the very beginning, right? As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
You're choking me, bro. Stop. Help, man. This shit ain't right, bro. Stop. This ain't right.
But what's happening now is unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people.
is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under
all
your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't
can't
have
wear
to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
You can do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen. Get out.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.